Okay, now you may swear.
Wait, no,
Dongleberry!
You can't swear.
Oh, why not?
Yes.
Because there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Right. Okay, then. Well, hello again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. We got a new standard, everybody.
Yay! Yes.
Way of phrasing it and pretending to be excited.
I am quite excited because I'm quite excited.
Collins is pretty cool. I'll give you that.
Yes. But anyway, we're not there yet. So, hello everyone. I am Chewy, the guy who is already failing at keeping the show on the rails before the record button was even hit. I'm just the worst. And I am joined this week by these other guys over here. Let's see here. You with the glass. Crap, that doesn't work.
Really? What do you mean, you with the glasses? You have to, like, categorize this into your own special categories?
Well, see, I was going to point at each of you and go, you with the, but, so Clues is, you with the bow tie. That's Clues.
Yep, that's totally Clues. We had the rails removed while you were gone that one week.
Oh, so is that what happened?
That may be why you're having trouble keeping it on there.
Okay.
That's also why OSHA's upset. Watch out, man. He's gonna smash our helms if we aren't careful.
I love callbacks. Well,
smashing the helmets emphasizes the safety, right?
I thought
so. I wish you had a helmet.
Yeah.
So, I'm Chewy. That's Clues. He's a level 2.
I am.
And he hates blue, and he plays Legacy. And that's Bill, or Squee, over there. He hopefully doesn't suck at cons drafting.
Hopefully.
And he loves turtles.
That is accurate.
And then Jack is the one in the back jumping up and down waving. Jack, sit down. They can't see you. It's audio.
Okay.
He loves artifact sphinxes and
cookies.
I do like cookies. I actually just got done making cookies tonight because, like, with Tiff working longer shifts, I have to come up with things for me and Riley to do in the winter months now that it's getting colder. So I totally pulled a Martha Stewart, and I was like, and tonight we're going to make sugar cookies and decorate them. How do you like that, sweetie? Awesome. Yeah, like, away from this mic, I am the most whipped man on this cast, probably. But I make some mean sugar cookies.
I bet you do.
Yeah, I straight up emptied that bag and put margarine and one egg in it. Thank you, Betty Crocker.
I am still amazed that you just referred to the winter months of September.
Well, I mean, it's been cold the last couple of days.
She is from the south, so.
Yeah, I mean, if I don't step outside and immediately start sweating, it's cold.
I'll give you that. Yeah. Because we're in the south, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and there's like one gnat that has been in my apartment all day, and he wants to
Isn't
fly.
Isn't that that Mike Wazowski character from Ravnica?
No, that was...
Okay, close, just though. Making sure.
Okay, so, yeah, we need to get those rails reinstalled. This is ridiculous. So, before we get to the new standard and all that other stuff, Jack's time with us is limited. So Jack had something he wanted to do before we get started. So, hey, Jack, take it away.
Hey, okay. All right. So I've worn a lot of hats in this community, some of which I've earned here and some of which I've earned abroad. And one of those hats I got was about a year and a half ago when a friend of mine, Dr. Jeebus, asked me to be the content manager for mdgbrodeals.com. And in that time, I like to think I've done a decent job. There have been some failings, though, and a lot of that has been directly a result of my own inadequacies as a content manager. And a lot of the things we failed to do is have regular content, be able to compensate our writers as we should for their time, and to regularly deliver the kind of content that both the community deserves and that I know our writers are capable of creating. Okay. And so Jeebs sent me a message on Twitter this morning saying that our server bill was coming up for the year in about 2 months, and he didn't have the money for it, and I don't have the money for it. So MTG Bro Deals is going to cease to exist in 2 months unless we do something about that. I'm going to do full disclosure here. The total cost is somewhere in the neighborhood of $115 or $120 or something like that. It's a once-a-year fee that had either Jeebus or I actually had proper time to think about and set money aside for, and had life not hit both of us particularly hard over the last couple of months, we actually would have been able to save the money and pay the bill. But money's short, and we simply don't have it. So here's the deal. And I'm going to pitch this to all of the listeners out there in Monday Night Magic and all of the people who have ever frequented bro deals and things like that. I personally don't want to see bro deals fail. And the reasoning behind that is, you know, we're not like a lot of other websites. We may not have regular content. We may not have constant editing capabilities, as yet again, another one of my failings sometimes when I'm in a rush to get content up. And we may not have the bang and luster of gathering magic in some other places, including mtgcast.com. But something I have always prided myself on is bro deals is the place where, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from or what level of expertise you have. If you have something to say about magic and you're really passionate about it and you honestly think that you can write an article for us about it, we will absolutely have you. And as evident by the articles that have been posted on bro deals, a lot of mine personally, especially which have had very little to do with magic, a lot of people have enjoyed. And I like to think we have become kind of the place where no matter who you are, you really can speak your mind about what's on your heart and what you think about the game and where the game is heading. And we don't place any filters on our writers. You can read it. Plenty of Jeebus's articles, my articles, stuff by Renee, stuff by Tim Briotti, Josh Langer, Trevor, Angelo from Pit Imps. You can read stuff by all those guys on there and tell that we give our writers a lot of liberty and a lot of creativity to say whatever they want to. And I would really, really, really hate to see that become a void in the community, because I've wrote for other websites. Okay. I've worked with other places like Mana Deprived. I tried to work with Gathering Magic and a lot of other places, and they lack the liberty and understanding with their writers that bro deals does. And so here's what I'm going to throw to the community. If you've ever enjoyed bro deals, if you've ever read an article by anybody on the website, it doesn't matter who it is, and it touched you or it moved you, or you enjoyed it, or we had an idea that you really liked, please get in touch with Dr. Jeebus on either Twitter at Dr_Jeebus, J-E-E-B-U-S, or Jeebus at mtgbrodeals.com, and you know, talk to him about how you can donate and help out with the bill. It's just $115, like I said, and zero of this is going to go into our pockets. And, you know, if you guys don't want to donate and you want to see the website just die and go into nothing, that's cool too. I completely understand. I'm very much from a community where you vote with your dollars, and that's kind of my viewpoint on all of this. I will say this, though. If we manage to raise the $115 we need for the website, I promise you I'm going to make it my personal duty to pull the website back around and actually change it into something really wonderful. Okay? I cannot get into the exact technical details and the things that will occur right now, but we are looking towards possibly compensating any of our writers, anybody that comes to us for their time, at least. We're also looking at getting regular content, including a podcast and at least 4 to 5 articles per week up. And, you know, I'm just going to say this too. This is something I'm very passionate about. I really love the people I work with. They're all great folks, and they all have put in a lot of work and a lot of hard time and effort to keep bro deals a thing. And again, make it this place where absolutely anybody can come up and actually say whatever's on their mind. And so, if you can respect the idea, even in the least, please feel free again to either get in touch with myself or Dr. Jeebus. We would really, really, really appreciate it. And again, like I said, if we do manage to raise this money, you're going to see a completely different bro deals in 2014 to 2015. I promise you that. And I don't know what my word is worth in this community, but I hope it's worth at least $5, $1, $10, whatever you think is adequate. So that's my spiel, guys. I'm sorry I hogged the mic for a little bit.
Well, that wasn't very long at all.
Yeah, it wasn't long at all.
Yeah.
Any more?
I guess the only last thing I would say is, you know, if you want to write an article rather than donate, if you have something you absolutely have to get off your chest in 2 months, send it in. Okay, send it in to me at jack@mtgcast.com. And I don't care how long it is. If it's 1,000 words, if it's 3,000 words, or however long you feel like you have something to say, send it in. And if it's something you're passionate about and it's quality work, I will put it up. I promise.
Sweet.
Oh, we take Haku's clues, yes.
Well, you said it could be any length. I was just curious if
Haku... Yeah, we will take Haku's. We will take anything. But no, seriously, like, if we can actually raise the money for this, Jeebus and I have talked about setting up a Patreon to actually compensate our writers for their time. And I just want to throw this out there, too. I have made no money off of being the content manager for Bro Deals. I've done it just because I like the people I work with, and I like the idea that Bro Deals represents as this kind of freedom from the rest of the community where you really can just talk about whatever's on your mind with the game. And I mean, we've had everything from, we had one writer who came forward about his mental illness and how being a member of the community actually helped him out to, you know, some of my own stuff I put up about my play group dying off and how that affected me and how being in this community at large has helped me deal with a lot of personal problems I have. And just we have some good stuff up there. We really do. And I would like to somehow incentivize the people that work for us at Bro Deals to keep putting out that content and keep working for us, especially where they do have as much liberty as they feel they need. And they never feel restricted as they would on other websites. And I mean, we're talking about getting a podcast and some other things going again. So if you guys really believe in this and you actually have enjoyed Bro Deals in any capacity, please donate. We would really, really appreciate it. And again, it's $115. That's not much, but we just don't have that kind of money. And me and Jeebs are kind of at a point right now where we will really measure the success of the website by how successful this fundraiser is just to pay the server bill.
Fair enough.
Yeah. And I thank you guys for your time. I can hang around for a little bit longer, but I just really needed to get that out before we went any further. So thank you guys very much for letting me hog the mic for 15 minutes.
Sure. You know, it's one of those things where it's a substantial sum of money for one person to pay, but almost nothing if a lot of people pay it. So
yeah. And this, the community is really, really good at helping out people when they need it. And, again, this is something that, you know, we're going to gauge how successful Bro Deals has been on a whole by the fact that it may or may not exist in 2 months. And, I have never had a place I could write where I could be as open with my readers and as open with my editors and the people I work with as Bro Deals. And I've been doing Magic content for 8 years now. So take that as you will. And, you know, like I said, just even if it's just $5 or a buck or whatever, if you have ever read anything on Bro Deals, you know, please send it in. We would really appreciate it. Oh, or even better yet, I'll say this. If you want to personally insult Jeebus or me for any reason whatsoever, send it in, and I promise you we will find out something to do with all these amazing insults, and we will take suggestions. We will take anything you guys got. I feel like I'm opening myself to the floodgates there.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure you're going to get a couple bucks out of me now. I'll be like, hey, Jeebus. It'll be like a cartoon, you know, you hold up the piece of paper and the scroll just unrolls and falls on the floor and rolls down the hallway. Anyway.
But yeah, and like I said, we will probably undergo some structural changes if this turns out to be a success that will ensure the website keeps going well into the next year.
Sweet.
Yeah.
it seems to be a very popular thing to say, I've been doing all this stuff for this Magic website, and I've never gotten paid for it, not a dime. This sounds really familiar to me, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. My thing with Magic content production or Bro Deals or anything like that has always been the moment it stopped being fun, I'd quit. But being the content manager over at Bro Deals, it's helped me out personally quite a bit. And it's fun. It's never stopped being fun. Even if it's like whipping my writers to actually get an article in or reading over something that somebody just sent in where they were like, well, you know, Jack, I don't know about this one, and reading over it and it's gold and it's so good. And I can't wait to get the next article from them. it's been so much fun for me. And aside from Monday Night Magic, that's really been the only thing in the last couple of years that I've really cared a lot about doing. And I've really cared a lot about seeing the success towards. So yeah, that's kind of my stance on it. And again, Bro Deals it's very unique in this community, I think. I mean, we have articles with titles that I cannot mention on Monday Night Magic because there is no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Certainly not. Yeah.
And I've had, you know, people write in and say, "Hey man, that article you wrote, that brought tears to my eyes." And I've not seen a lot of that elsewhere in this community. And, so yeah, if you guys have enjoyed Bro Deals, please send in something. We'd really appreciate it. And especially this community can do it. Like, that is the only reason we even considered reaching out to people, was because I've seen Magic players do some extraordinary things in this community, from, you know, the Team Panda thing that went on for several months there, to just getting the money for Chewy's Kickstarter, to getting Jay Boosh and other people to different GPs. Like, you guys really can do it. And we would not ask if we genuinely did not need the help. And again, I promise you, like, even if we get the Patreon going, or if you guys send in donations to this or anything like that, none of this is going into mine or Jeebus's pockets. I have profited none off of doing this website, neither has Jeebus. All of this is just going to go towards actually making Bro Deals a thing still.
And if you get any extra, that'll go to paying the writers.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And like I said, the Patreon we're thinking about setting up, that is going to solely go toward paying our writers, and that's it. I'm still going to be doing this for free, regardless of how much money we actually earn.
And that's very sweet of you, sir.
Well, I believe in my people. I really do. And I believe in Brodeals. So, I mean, it's the least I can do. And besides, like, I don't know, if I felt like if I was getting paid to do it, like, it would take the fun away. I know that sounds really cheesy. And every time somebody mentions, like, something magic related, I'm always like, well, when I start getting a paycheck for it, I'll believe it. But no, seriously, if I earned any money off of being the content manager for Brodeals, it would make me feel dishonest about how much I enjoy it. And I don't want to have that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, I'm sorry. I got to bolt. But, guys, I love each and every one of you, and I love the listeners. And, guys, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, certainly, sir. You are always welcome to come on and beg for money. We used to do it every week. You remember the golden age?
And I was so good at it. Like, and that's why I had faith in myself tonight. I was like, I can smell the dollar bills rolling in already. Oh, all right. Get the back of the throat ready, where I have the empathy and the sincerity, and just roll that out. You can roll with it. Yeah. Okay. I probably just undid everything I just said. But you
know what? Chewy could edit this out. He's not going to, but he could.
No. Don't edit that out. Like, you know, as I stand with honesty as a content manager, I stand by the honesty of my audio as well. Okay. Oh my gosh. All right, guys, I promise I'll actually be on for the full time next week. Okay,
don't make promises.
All right,
you can't.
We're holding you to that.
I can actually make promises when I know my wife's gonna be off that night and I can be here. I'll catch you guys later. Thank you very much again, gentlemen.
Hi.
Bye, Jack.
Go play some magic.
Yeah. Now, to ensure that there aren't any sort of recording problems, the listeners aren't going to know this, but something momentous is about to happen. You guys ready?
Yes.
You think anyone noticed?
No, I don't think anyone noticed.
Okay, that means I did my job. So,
you have altered the call, and I pray you did not alter it further.
Yeah, I did that once. So, let's talk about the new standard, shall we?
Yay.
Yeah. Hey, there's like new cards and everything.
All over the place.
Yeah, so Star City had an open. Oh, goodness,
no.
Excuse me. Shut up. Star City had an open in New Jersey with coverage as usual. No, wait. Where was the coverage?
I think coverage was at Indy, but I may be wrong.
No. New Jersey got the coverage.
Okay, then coverage was at New Jersey.
Okay. And that means there were the second open for the first time ever in New Jersey. No, in Indianapolis did not have coverage. But I talked to Connor, one of their directors, earlier today, and he said, yeah, we ran two opens. It was the first time for the double open in a single weekend. So, yeah, and someone else, I think it was Tim Briody, who Jack just mentioned has written for MTG Bro Deals. He told me that there were two opens. This was a make good for the snowed out New Jersey Open earlier this year. I don't know if that's what it actually was, but I'll take his word for it because I don't know, and that sounds good to me.
So what we're saying is that they spent a lot of energy covering New Jersey, and, you know, SCG Indy is the Saturday school that lets out at noon and doesn't really count.
What's interesting is the attendance was actually higher at Indy than New Jersey.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for them. I don't blame them, though. I mean, their choice is Indianapolis or New Jersey.
Yeah, well, I'm not super surprised. I mean, Indy pulls a lot of people from a lot of the surrounding areas, so.
Yeah, it's more unfortunate that all the coverage was at one end and not the other one. But either way, we have a ton of deck lists, and it's going to be awesome.
We do have a ton of deck lists. I don't know if everything's going to be awesome, but we do have a ton of deck lists.
But aren't we part of a team?
I mean, I'm part of a team.
So that means everything is awesome.
I see what you did there.
And I haven't even seen that movie.
You should see that movie. It's pretty good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got it on Blu-ray if you want to borrow it.
I don't have a Blu-ray player, so that won't do any good.
I could loan
I've got it on Etch-a-Sketch yes, if you want to borrow it. Just don't shake it.
Anyway, so let's talk about the new standard. Oh, crap. Where am I? Edison.
Where do you want to go first? New Jersey or Indy?
Okay, Edison must be New Jersey. So.
Yes.
I'm in Jersey.
Welcome to Jersey.
Yay.
We're sorry.
And the winner was one Kevin Jones. Do I know that name?
Maybe.
Does he look familiar to me? He might. Open profiles. Hang on. I'm checking. He's from New York. I'm going to guess I don't know him personally. He's just got one of those names. So congrats to Kevin Jones. He was playing. Oh, God, I'm going to have so many freaking tabs open.
Yep.
If my connection drops, call my mom, tell her I love her or something. I don't know.
Will do.
He was playing a Jeskai tempo deck.
Yeah, he was. And you might go, well, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. But I do know it's got freaking Rabble Master in it, because
yeah,
everything
say,
has Rabble Master in it.
Parts of this deck I approve of. For instance, the four Goblin Rabble Masters. That's fantastic. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, he did not mess around when he decided to go new. So we've got the Rabble Master. His creature base consists of a set of Rabble Masters, a set of Mantis Rider, you know, the flying Vigilant Haste 3-3 for 3.
Yep.
In Jeskai colors. And three copies of Seeker of the Way. Which yeah. is the bear, the 2-2 for 2 with prowess, and gets lifelink in addition to +1/+1 when you cast a non-creature spell. So, that's
heck of a bear.
Yeah, you cast any sort of non-creature and he turns into a 3-3 with lifelink for 2 mana. That's ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, it is. What sort of non-creature spells do they have to back this up?
Well, for the big flashy end, he's got a Chandra Pyromaster and 2 Sarkhan the Dragonspeaker.
I approve of both of these.
Because Sarkhan the Dragonspeaker, I suspected was the awesome.
Well, yes. He doubles as both a prowess enabler for the turn you cast him, and he's a dragon, so he's also a creature. It's everything you want in life, really.
It's true.
All wrapped up into a crazy little package.
It is pretty crazy. So as far as actual non-creature spells that are always non-creature spells, he's got Banishing Light, which is the not quite O-ring.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like a... Well, it's still O-ring. It's just fixed, right?
It's fixed.
It's fixed, yes.
Enters the exile target non-land. So yeah, it's just a fixed O-ring. Okay. Dig Through Time, which when I first read Dig Through Time, I was like, oh no. Now that I've seen Dig Through Time in action, phew. Dig Through Time costs 6 and 2 blue with Delve. And it says, look at the top 7 cards of your library, put 2 into your hand and the rest of the bottom of your library in any order. And casting that for 2 or 3 mana is not as hard as you'd think, so.
Yeah, you know, with no flashback, you don't really care what you exile from your graveyard.
It's entirely true, yeah.
And with a deck full of instants, you're going to fill your graveyard pretty quick.
Also true. Plus, he was only playing 2 fetches, so never mind. I was going to say, plus he's probably got fetches, only 2. But hey, that's 2, you know.
That's 2, yeah.
Let's see, moving on, he's got Jeskai Charm, because Jeskai colors. And all of these new charms are just stupid, I just want to say. Like, in Limited, they're all ridiculous. And this is the first one I've seen in Constructed, obviously, but it's the first deck we've talked about. So, yeah. So what's
it got? Jeskai Charm does a lot for this particular deck. Or, I mean, obviously for Jeskai decks in general, because it either gets rid of the blocker by putting it on top of their library, which is really helpful when you've gone through the trouble of pumping up your guys. But the ability to just straight up dome someone for 4 and pump your relevant Jeskai guy, which in this case is just Seeker of the Way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is still pretty relevant. Giving him making him a 3/3 lifelinker as you done them for 4 is pretty vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but consider that last ability. Yeah,
that last charm, one paired with the Rabble Master and even Sarkhan is just wrong.
Yeah, so creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain lifelink until end of turn when you've got Sarkhan as a 4/4 and Goblin Rabble Master with a buddy and maybe a Mantis Rider in there. Heck, your Seeker of the Way might be a 3/3 at that point because, yeah, I mean, yeah, you could get a stupid amount of life in a turn off of this.
Or not even the life. You could do a stupid amount of damage, depending on how many buddies the Rabble Master has brought with him.
You'll note that when you look at the modes, you use one ability when you're playing against aggro, one of them if you're playing against control, and one of them if you're playing against midrange, so the deck kind of plays itself.
Get rid of that. All right. Let's see, moving on, he's got Burn, he's got Lightning Strike, and Magma Jet, which are both pretty awesome. Oh, and Stoke the Flames, also awesome.
Yeah.
And then he's actually playing Steam Augury, which I'm guessing is awesome in a deck where you also might want to cast a Dig Through Time at some point.
Yeah.
So as a quick reminder, because nobody plays Steam Augury, reveal the top 5 cards of your library and separate them into 2 piles.
Top 5 cards!
Stop that. So you are making the piles. This is not Factor Fiction. You're making the piles. An opponent chooses one of those piles. That pile goes in your hand. The other pile goes in your graveyard. So.
Hey, now could I just imagine. Pause? Could I pause you right there?
Sure.
Because there are going to be people who try and game cards like this where your opponent chooses one thing and the thing they choose goes to your hand or goes to your graveyard. Look, let's just all communicate clearly. Just give them the piles and say which one goes in my hand. That's all I'm going to say.
Or if someone plays a Steam Augury against you, indicate clearly this in hand, this in graveyard.
Yes.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
Communication, very good. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
So well, that's it as far as.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so with your piles here, you can put a Dig Through Time in one pile and 4 cards in the other pile. And either way, you're getting a bunch of.
And either way, you win.
It's pretty wonderful all around there.
Yeah. So.
Now, as you mentioned, just the 2 fetches in here. Is that right? 2 flooded strands is all we have. 2 flooded strands.
And he's not running that many basics. He's got Battlefield Forge, Mystic Monastery, Shivan Reef, and then 8 temples of appropriate colors. So
8 temples. That's a lot of temples.
So more fetches would be kind of useless. So that's fine. I do like that in a sideboard I see 2 Ashcloud Phoenix. I really wonder how that did for him, because I opened 2 of these in my 2 pre-releases, and they're just stupid.
I actually find that boy, this is going to seem weird coming from me. The Disdainful Strokes are actually kind of interesting.
See? Scuba diving.
That's how it happens.
That is totally how it happens.
One second, you're just being normal hate and blue, and the next time you're like, you know, I agree with that snake.
Yeah, that counter spell is pretty banging.
I didn't say that. I said it was interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nitrogen Narcosis is a thing, but yeah, it is. I mean, there's
a lot
of...
It's your 2-mana counter spell, and it counters the things you want to counter.
I was going to say, it counters the big... It forces you to actually counter the things that matter.
Well, you also don't have to worry about countering things like Doomblade anymore. So, the things that matter cost more.
Although, in this guy's deck, specifically, it counters the Planeswalkers and the Dig Through Time. Oh, and the Steam Augury and Stoke the Flames, and that's it. So,
yeah,
it's pretty good.
Though you'll note that he's also running 2 copies of Negate, so he can pull in whichever counter spell is appropriate for the deck he's playing.
True.
Now, it seems to me that maybe either he couldn't figure out a 15th card for the sideboard, or he wasn't really sure about his mana base, because there's a Temple of Enlightenment in the sideboard.
Yeah, that, I don't know
it's
what...
It's probably for control. If he has to play the long game, then the added scry and the added ability probably matters.
The 8 temples wasn't enough. We need one more.
Scrying is fun.
Scrying is fun. I'm just saying, normally you see answers in a sideboard, not an extra land.
As far as the big mamma jammas in the sideboard, there's another Sarkhan. There's a Keranos, because he's playing blue and red, so why wouldn't there be a Keranos in the board?
Yep.
And he's got a single Narset Enlightened Master, which I really like.
Yeah. My only disappointment with Narset is that every time I look at the art, I just assume that Narset is flying. and she's not.
No.
There's no pleasing some people. So, but why? Why is Narset in here? So, 3-2, first strike, hexproof. When she attacks, you exile the top four cards of your library. And until end of turn, you can cast non-creature cards exiled with Narset this turn without paying their mana costs. That is ridiculous, but she does cost 6.
Yeah, she's there because of the 22 non-creature spells.
How do you feel about casting Dig Through Time for free?
Actually, I'm sorry, 25 if you count the Planeswalkers.
How do you feel about the fact that all of these are instants and a lot of them will allow her to actually get through the combat and then do this again next turn?
But I mean, what does she... Like, when do you bring her in?
Probably against the control decks, like the games that are going to go longer. She has Hexproof. They can't kill her.
Yeah,
and she'll get through the combat with First Strike and any amount of burn.
If you can sneak her past a Disdainful Stroke, then yeah, she's probably good. Nice. Okay. So that was the first place deck.
Yeah.
In where are we? Jersey.
Jersey. We promise we are not going to spend this long on every deck because someday we want to go to bed.
That is very true, and I have to be up early. So, and since I haven't slept in like 2 weeks, I should probably get on it. So let me just pull up all of these top eights real quick. Bam, bam. Oh, well, the mono red. Okay.
We have got to look at this Mardu mid range deck.
It's awesome.
I seem to have not opened. Oh, there it is.
This is John Goss, second place at the SCG Open. Oh, by the way, did I actually mention the numbers for this? They had 430 for standard in Jersey.
Nice.
Okay, so John Goss's Mardu midrange. Okay, so it's got Mardu in the name, which makes me happy. Midrange, I'd rather you kill them faster, but let's look at what they're killing them with. So we got 14 creatures on board here,
yep,
including full play sets of Goblin Rabble Master.
Because duh.
Rabble. He's so Rabble. Good. And four copies of Butcher of the Horde.
This thing is slam. Now,
these two guys go pretty well together, since Butcher of the Horde wants you to sack dudes, and Goblin Rabble Master creates dudes that are perfectly fine to sack.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's sacrifice another creature, not non-token creature. Tokens are right. Just fine.
I mean, it's not going to help you for the Vigilance, but it's great for the Lifelink.
Yeah.
I mean, the Haste, it, again, doesn't really matter. But for the Vigilance, it's awesome.
Well, no, the Haste does work, because doesn't Rabble Master create the tokens at the beginning of combat before you would actually have to declare Butcher as an attacker?
Oh, that's true. It is.
You're right. Yeah,
combat.
The timing is right. You're right.
Yeah, so it turns that guy on right away. Joining them in this pantheon of pain, we have three copies of the King of Kitties himself, Brimoz, who, by the way, also makes dudes
perfectly
suitable for
butcher.
Sacking.
Yeah.
And three copies of Storm Breath Dragon, because that guy's just kind of good.
He's sort of the boss creature of standard for a bit.
So I guess by mid-range, we mean we're going to kick your teeth in on like turn 4, 5?
Yeah, that's usually what mid-range means, yeah.
Mid-range, sure.
Yeah, so along with those...
Wait. I also want to point out, the Stormbreath Dragon has protection from like almost everything.
A fair bit of it.
If you look at the top 8, he has protection from 1, we'll count his deck, 2... 3, 4 has protection from half of the top 8.
Yeah, this is protection from white, for those who don't remember their Storm Breath Dragons.
It's a combination of protection from white and haste, and having 4 toughness gets it around most problems.
That's true,
It's pretty much going to be Hero's Downfall killing it.
Yep, pretty much. So, also on board with all of these creatures, we have 2 copies of Sarkhan. And because we had Sarkhan, why not 2 copies of Sorin as well?
Ooh, guess what Sorin does?
He makes dudes.
Yeah, he do.
He makes dudes attack really well.
Yeah.
+1/+0 and lifelink is pretty great in your aggro deck.
Especially when you're swinging with big scary things, like Butcher of the Horde.
It even makes the little tokens relevant to the Butcher's taken care of. I mean, a whole bunch of 2/1s with lifelink swinging every turn? Pretty sick.
Yeah. So spell-wise, we've got Crackling Doom, because Crackling Doom, I like it. Hero's Downfall, Lightning Strike, and then a Singleton Despise, and a full playset of Thoughtseize.
Yeah.
So the best way to deal with the thing that your opponent's going to play is take it away before they can play it.
Well, what else is this deck doing on the first 2 turns?
Not a whole lot.
That is a damn fine point.
I mean, if you're going to have to waste turn 1 or 2... You might as well make your opponent feel wasted too. So
you can't have this. I don't want you to have this. Do you understand?
Now, land-wise, speaking of turn one and two, you might not be doing anything turn one or two anyway, because we've got five temples, plus Nomad Outpost, which comes in tapped as well.
Mm-hmm. A full set of those.
Yeah, full set of those. There's a four Bloodstain, four fetches in here, one Urborg, because why not? So, yeah, I mean, you've got at least a substantial number of lands that might come in tapped, so.
Yeah. And you don't even care about any of the life that any of your lands are costing you because of the Butcher and Sorin giving lifelink.
Yep. I kind of like this deck.
It's pretty sweet.
This deck is pretty fun looking.
In case you haven't punched him enough, there's always Elspeth on the board.
Don't forget that.
She plays really well with Sorin, so.
Oh, God. Buh.
So that's that Mardu midrange deck. I just had to make sure we talked about that one.
I appreciate it. Let's see. Third place is actually not terribly changed. It's a green-red monsters deck, Mario Martinez. His new additions... Wow, the creature base is completely normal. Note the Rabble Masters, because Rabble Masters. He's got Creator's Claws in his non-creature spells, which is pretty sweet with Ferocious. It's pretty sweet. I mean, it's a Blaze without Ferocious. With Ferocious, it's a shock. It's like a bad shock. And I'm okay with that. Right? It's a bad shock. Okay. Single red, deal 2 damage. Sorcery speed. Okay. And it just goes up from there, of course. He added a Sarkhan to his Planeswalker suite, so he's got one each of Chandra, Nissa, good lord, Sarkhan, and Xenagos. So that's... Now that, because Domri's gone, right?
He was in Ravnica.
Yeah, he was in Ravnica. Okay. Yeah. So Sarkhan fills that void quite nicely. We can't make your dudes fight anymore. How about we punch you with a dragon?
That's a reasonable game plan. Mostly, I think they're really happy to get the Wooded Foothills.
Yes, and there's fetches. Because since this is a two-color deck, he's got 9 forests, 6 mountains, 4 temples of the appropriate color, and then 4 fetches, because duh.
I mean, you're going to want them anyway, because more than half of the cards in this deck take multiple of the same color of mana. It's not gold, but it's still tough.
And that's really it. His sideboard is entirely nothing new as far as cons goes. So
yeah,
this is a case of a deck that just adapted to rotation rather than reinventing itself. So that's good to see. Let's see. Fourth place is a green-black devotion deck. What happened here? Have there always been 4 copies of Doomwake Giant in this deck? This isn't...
I don't think so.
Oh, there's a Nylea. I'm like, this isn't exactly a devotion deck, but I guess there is a Nylea, so... Is there anything else that cares about devotion? I guess there's Nykthos. Yeah, it's lots of green things
More of a constellation deck.
Yeah, I'm tripping. It's like a constellation devotion. Shin. Now my head hurts. But yeah, there's absolutely nothing new here, except for... Nope.
Anything in the colors don't get a fetch.
Anything in the board? Anything? No, nothing. All right. 35 creatures, a Nissa, and the rest are lands. Seems fine to me. Good to see Hornet Queen getting some love.
It's probably one of those decks that's just benefiting from the fact that removal got worse.
Did removal get, like, worse?
Well, I mean, losing most of your cheap removal matters. They don't have to deal with their Doomblades anymore. They don't have to deal with their 3 cost or less things getting popped off by an Abrupt Decay anymore. Like, it's all just more expensive.
That is a good point. Wow. You can tell I don't play Standard. I had not even thought of that. All right. Moving on. Fifth place, a green-red devotion deck. This looks to be basically the same idea, just with red instead of black.
Yeah, it's got a Xenagos. Oh, it's got Creator Claws.
It's got Creator's Claws, so there's 31 creatures, 4 Planeswalkers, 3 Xenagos and Anissa, and 2 Creator's Claws, and then lands, including 4 fetches because it's red-green.
Yeah, and you got Arc Lightning back.
Oh yeah, and Arc Lightning is in the board. God, I love Arc Lightning.
It's really good.
I'm glad they printed Arc Lightning instead of the... What was the other one? Flames of the Firebrand? Was that it?
Probably. It cost like 5 or something, didn't it?
Now, there was one that was tuner. It was Arc Lightning. It was just a different name. You're thinking of something else, I think.
Oh, there are so many Chandra-themed cards. Yeah, yeah. Flames of the Firebrand was a sorcery.
Arc Lightning is a sorcery.
What is the difference? It feels like there's a difference, but I can't see
it. Yeah, the name. Yeah.
Huh.
Let's see. Six. What place was that? Yeah, that was fifth. Okay, sixth place, another Jeskai tempo deck. This one looks very similar. He's running Titan Strength and God's Willing in the main with his non-creatures instead of the stuff the other guy was running because I closed the window.
Does he have one extra Seeker as well? Yes,
yeah,
he does.
He's got the full set of Seekers. Huh. God's Willing and Titan Strength.
Oh, and
see what the other guy was running.
I'm sorry if you already mentioned this, but the Dig Through Times are in the side, not the main.
That was one of the things that's missing. The other is Steam Augury.
Oh, yeah.
And probably something. Oh, he's only running two Magma Jets. Okay. So, yeah. This one seems like it would have more punch you in the face, but slightly less long game, because it doesn't have the digging, Dig Through Time and the Steam Augury, but it does have, you know, give this thing protection so you'll die, and Titan Strength so you'll die faster.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, this is probably the version that I would have come up with if I was on this, this path. But
I do like the deflecting palm in the sideboard.
Of course you do.
It makes me happy.
Now that someone pointed out how gross the art is to me, I can't look at it anymore.
Yeah, those are
bones. I guess I'd better go look at the art.
See if you can find the bones, Clues.
Yeah. Well, Clues looks for bones. Seventh place was a red-white control deck.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
See? I didn't see that the first, like, six times I looked at the card.
I can't even... Oh, man.
You can't, can
can't
you?
Even.
I can't even. That's...
All right.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, red-white control, which is usually a word that doesn't go with red-white, but the creature base consists of four Brimaz, and then the Planeswalker suite is a set of Sarkhan, a set of Elspeth, and three Chandra. Whew.
Don't we have a name for red-white?
Yeah, but it doesn't go with control. You can't say Boros control, your head will explode.
You can, I've done it, but I'm sorry, I just noticed that, you know, it, at least in this list, the... nice folks at Star City have seen fit to name all of the wedges, but why no Lovin'? I mean, I understand that RTR block has rotated, but...
All right, I'll tell you what, let's compromise. We can't call it Boros Control, but we can totally call it Martial Law.
Can we call it Brannigan's Law?
That's for the stopping the neutrals, man. That's entirely different.
Ah, good point.
All right, these nerds have wandered into a form of nerdery that I don't know. So
excellent, excellent.
But it's... Look at this, he's running Faded Conflagration in the main. Are you serious?
I'm afraid we are.
That's...
Welcome to the world of fetches, buddies.
Wow, that's cool. He's not running fetches.
He's not running fetches. Wait a minute.
So, what are you talking about?
I just assumed.
He is running a set of the refuges, though, for red-white, so Windscarred Crag.
That also helps.
And he's only running three planes, so...
Well, like, there's
mostly
also,
red.
Also that, yeah. So, yeah, this... Spot removal, Magma Jet, Last Breath, Chain to the Rocks.
Only four creatures.
Only four creatures.
You mean four legendary creature? That seems really awkward.
That could get really awkward.
Then he's got the Sweeper in Anger of the Gods, and there's an End Hostilities in his board. Oh, look, a Hammer of Perforos in the board, too. That's nice.
For when he decides he has too many planes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, looks like any planes is too many planes, so... Eighth place is a mono-green devotion deck. I'm going to predict there isn't terribly much here that's new. There's Hooded Hydra. Ooh!
Big Snake.
That's cool. Rattleclaw Mystic, because, I guess, reasons, I guess?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
I mean, it's good.
Still makes green mana.
I guess.
Ramps you by two.
Yeah,
I mean, you can run Rattleclaw Mystic in a mono red deck or a mono blue deck, honestly, and it'll still ramp you by two.
True, but it doesn't ramp you by two until turn four.
So you unmorph it, and yeah, I mean, like, when else are you going to get ramp in a blue deck?
How does it ramp you by two? You have to pay two to get three. It ramps you by one.
And then you tap it for mana.
Oh, look at that. And then you tap it for mana. Rattleclaw Mystic is ridiculous. Okay. Huh, that's it, though. He's got, of course, Windswept Heath, because... Oh, and Wooded Foothills. Good lord! Just clear out everything. Three of each of those. 13 Forests, 4 Nykthos. Then there's two Scuttling Doom Engines in the side, which I love.
Scuttle.
And then just a bunch of... Another Hooded Hydra and a bunch of old stuff. Extra Hornet Queen, because why not? Yeah. This actually looks... The addition of the Hooded Hydra there just seems...
It's a really good use for all that Nykthos mana.
Yeah, it really is. Phew. Okay. So that was the top eight. So ninth is a mono red aggro deck. We have to look at this because anytime you see mono red aggro. Now, in a new format, there's always going to be aggro decks. Whenever a new standard, you know, a new rotation happens, aggro decks just sort of come out of the woodwork because people aren't entirely sure what's good and what isn't yet. And while they're trying new things, you can run past their experiments and punch them in the face. So it does not surprise me to see this here. A Crowan Crusader, Fire Drinker Seder, Foundry Street Denizen, these are Rabble Master, these are all things we've seen before, but then, Mogus's Warhound, which, yeah, that makes sense. And then we have the Monastery Swift Spear, which this thing, I had to read it three times, because I was like, wait, does that say haste, prowess, and a single red casting cost with a 1/2? Did someone write a 2 on here? Surely this isn't a 1/2. But no, it really is, I can see it, it's right there.
Yeah, I've seen it suggested that this card has a home in Legacy Burn.
I've heard it was confirmed to have a home in Legacy Burn, but we might find that out when we get to Legacy.
I was going to say, I haven't actually seen it in action yet, but I'm thinking about it.
I mean, it's pretty neat to turn one, hit them for one, turn two, double Titan Strength, bam!
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you'll see that in Legacy, but...
Well, no, but I mean, you can do that right now, and Legacy has better cards than Titan Strength to play
Good
with.
Lord. Okay, hang on. Turn one, hit him for one. Turn two, double Titan Strength. That's one. That's seven, eight. That's putting them at 10 on turn two.
Well, I mean, what you're probably actually going to do is turn two Lightning Bolt and Chain Lightning or, Lava Spike. So... There's 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, that's 10 that way too. Yeah.
Yeah. This is namely turn two. They're at 10 life. It's in standard.
Yeah. I mean, of course, that involves
having three cards and two mountains.
Yeah, that involves four cards, five cards in your opening hand, but it's not impossible.
Certainly not. I mean, you know, mono red, Legacy Red Burn runs enough one mana burn spells that, yeah.
No one's talking about Legacy here but you.
Hey, I am.
We'll be talking about it in a second, but yeah, if you look at the actual cost of the spells in this deck, because the Swift Seer has haste, you could drop it and cast other spells same turn and still get through for a ton of damage.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Like, the top of the curve in this deck is 4, and that's Stoke the Flames, which only sort of counts.
Yeah.
If you count 1 Convoke and Stoke the Flames, then the top of this deck's curve is 3 with Rabble Master, Stoke the Flames, and the single Hall of Triumph, just because why not? So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. And the board is just more goodness.
Yeah, with Arc Lightning again.
Good lord. All right. I just wanted to talk about that because it's us. And if Clues and I are on the same cast and we don't talk about a mono red aggro deck in standard, it's probably something wrong.
Oh, man, there's more decks.
Yeah, so let's see. Just without pausing to look at all of them, there's a Green Red Devotion in 10th. Sultai Delve. Damn it, I have to look at that.
Nelson, Sultai Delve.
Oh, it's Brad Nelson. Good lord, look at this deck. Are you kidding me? I almost said a bad word.
Okay. Yeah, you do.
It's pretty sweet.
Necropolis Fiend, Rakshasa Death Dealer, which is stupid. It's just stupid.
It's like a battle mage.
Someone pointed out to me that it's almost a Putrid Imp, or Putrid Leech. And I went, because I remember how good Putrid Leech was. Putrid Leech was sick.
It's also a cat demon.
And yeah, there's that, which makes it even better. Seder Wayfinder is really good in this deck. A Soul of Innistrad, just because why not? And Sidisi Brood Tyrant. Ugh. I had this thing played against me at the pre-release. It's not pretty.
I've played with it. It's insane.
See? And then in the spells, Bile Blight, Heroes Downfall, Murderous Cut, easily... This might be the best uncommon in the set. It's certainly the best mono-colored uncommon in the set, I think.
It's probably the best kill spell in standard.
Let's go with that, for sure. Then there's Commune with the Gods. What's Commune with the Gods? Reveal the top 5 cards of your library. You can put a creature or enchantment from among them into your hand and the rest in your graveyard. Ah, yes. Makes sense. And then Thoughtseize, of course.
Yeah, cards like Commune with the Gods, on top of just setting up your delve, because the cards are going straight from your library to your graveyard, you can also very easily pop some zombies out from Sidisi whenever you cast these spells incidentally. It's pretty great.
So yeah, that looks like a lot of fun. Good on you, Brad Nelson. Teamer
He's got Empty the Pits in the board.
You are kidding me. I didn't even look at the board.
He's got 2 copies of Empty the Pits in the board.
That's insane.
That makes me happy.
That's the double X
black.
Yeah. A delve spell that gets you X 2-2 zombies tapped. That's pretty cool. Let's see. This Teamer Monsters deck is essentially, excuse me, the red-green monstrous deck from before. Sort of whittled down a little bit, and they added blue for Teamer Charm, which is really good. And Kiora.
Yeah.
Which in this deck seems pretty stupid, actually. Good lord. Yeah, draw a card, play an extra land. That's fine. What's Hunt the Hunter? Oh, right, okay. So yeah, adding blue. Oh, and Rattleclaw Mystic because more ramp. Yeah, I like it. Let's see. Red, green monsters, black, white, mid range. Really? Damn it, now I gotta look at that. What is that? It's a creatureless deck. Elspeth, one Liliana, and Sorin. Four each Sorin. Of the white ones. One Liliana. And then removal, including Utter End and End Hostilities. Good lord.
Yeah.
Wow. And he's running a Radiant Fountain. Wow.
Oh, weird.
What's the Radiant Fountain for? Just to keep him alive long enough to get his Planeswalkers down, maybe?
When you've got Urborg, it taps for black.
Well, I mean, there's that too.
I mean, like, that's the only way you could justify running it.
I guess it's, is it a better refuge? No, it's a better monocolored refuge? I don't know, that's weird. I like it, though. I like it a lot. Okay.
And he's also running Empty Thits in the sideboard.
Oh my god.
It was a glorious day.
Rounding out the top 16 of Jersey, there's an Abzan midrange deck in 15th. Oh, Siege Rhino! Oh, sorry.
It's a big rhino.
Like, Mike was hardcore Mardu during previews, and then they showed Siege Rhino, and Mike went, I think I'm going to have to switch. Because Siege Rhino is just stupid.
Ooh, there's a Wingmate Rock, too.
And there's a Wingmate Rock, and I... What is this? Again, enters the battlefield if you attack a creature this turn. You get another one?
Yeah, it's like Broodmate Dragon.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
You also just gain life, incidentally, when it attacks, so that's pretty sweet. And that is running... a fundamental difference, though, because the token does not have the gain life clause on it.
Right. And he's running Elspeth and Sorin and Brimaz, so he's got plenty of tokens running around to attack with.
Yeah. Abzan Charm.
Abzan Charm.
Battlefield.
Yet another charm. Empty the pits in the board. Really?
With Anafenza.
Anafenza? That seems fine. I'm surprised she's in the board.
Oh, that's funny. Anafenza's ability to just ruin those poor delve decks that have creatures. That's great. I didn't even think of that till right now.
Oh, wow. Ha! That's funny.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a trip. And then there's another green-red devotion deck in 16th. Now, I really hate to stay on here, but there's two more decks that I see.
Yeah.
Mardu Tokens? Format. What is Mardu Tokens?
Ooh, I have to look at that.
Oh, God, he's running four copies of Bloodsoaked Champion. Bloodsoaked Champion is sick. Goblin Rabble Master. And then Brain Maggot. Oh, goody.
Oh, God.
The original art, not the FNM art. We'll get to that later. Then he's got a single Ajani Steadfast and four Sorins, because duh. Hey look, Mardu Charm, because duh.
Yeah.
Raise the Alarm.
Token.
Spear of Helios.
Token.
Huh. Hordling Outburst.
Token.
Thank you. this, good lord, this is cool. I don't know if I would actually play it, but it's certainly a trip to look at.
It is. I think I like the Mardu midrange that we looked at earlier a little better, but...
It seems more streamlined.
Yeah. I do like the Bloodsoaked Champion, though.
I like the way the other one had the Butcher in the main.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, boarding him in is nice and all, but just having him there to just immediately turn one, grab, you know, full value out of your tokens if they run into walls is great.
Good lord, he can eat a Bloodsoaked Champion every turn.
Yes, he can.
For one and a black. Are you freaking kidding me? Oh, my God, that's not right.
It's pretty great. Also, note that in the board he has a Purphoros, so...
Well, I guess it needs to be in the board, yeah.
Yeah, he's so when you set up your Bloodsoaked Champion and your Butcher eating combination, just for a full little dance, you can also smack them with Purphoros, because then they get the shock every time, too.
Yeah, because swinging for five in the air with Vigilance, Lifelink, or Haste, or maybe more, depending on what else you're eating, isn't enough. Why not make them take two while we're at it, you know?
Mardu is not about holding back, sir.
You are correct, sir. And then The other deck I wanted to talk about is the 22nd place Mono Black Aggro, which, looking at the cards in cons, I was like, you know, I don't think there's a Goblin deck. The Mono Red deck, I can't tell if it's good or not, but there's a lot of cheap black guys who want to kill you. And I'll just let that one go. But Bloodsoaked Champion, he's got Mogus' Marauder, who can just go, oops, I win. Painseer, because Black Aggro, you gotta have Painseer, Painseer. Tormented Hero, Gnarled Scarhide, Herald of Torment, Master of the Feast, Spiteful Return. He really just added in the Bloodsoaked Champion. Really? There's two Skull Hunters on the side. Okay. Martyr Skull Hunter is a beating. Two mana, get a two power dude, and discard a card. Yeah, I like this. This is essentially the mono black deck we've seen before, but made loads better with a Bloodsoaked Champion.
Yeah.
Huh, how about that? X. Okay. So yeah, the top 32 are actually listed here in case anyone wants to see all the way through. It's in the show notes. Go check it out. Should we go ahead and do the indie standard and just get done with standard?
Yeah, I think we should.
Probably more logical that way.
Okay, so holy crap, look at the difference over here.
Over in indie, we had 588 players show up for standard.
That is not a small number.
It is not.
Samuel Valentine won with an Abzan midrange deck, and this is different than the one we just looked at, because the first card I see is Ashen Rider. Nice.
That guy's still around. Oh, that's great.
How did you cast him? I guess in a midrange deck, you're probably going to get there.
Urborg makes everything easier.
Huh. I hadn't... Have we seen Ashen Rider in standard, like, at all?
Not since... Nah.
Not even.
I was like, yeah, he's a sideboard against Show and Tell. That's not standard.
Nope.
So there's one Ashen Rider because he costs 86, so, you know, let's not throw too many in there. Necropolis Fiend again, which, oh my god. So Necropolis Fiend, in case you're not aware, costs 7 black for a 4/5 flyer with Delve, so that's not a problem. But then you pay X and tap him and exile X cards from your graveyard to give a creature -X/-X. So he's just always removal. Like, well, you don't need to hit them in the face for 4.
The thing with him is that you don't want to delve too much. He's the only delve card that fights himself.
Right. You do want to leave enough fuel there, but I mean, you've got your Satyr Wayfinders, and you've got... This guy's running Empty the Pits in the main. Are you serious?
Yep.
Huh, and you've got your Commune with the Gods, so that helps. Plus, you've got things that are going to die.
Well, it's sort of an interesting mix, because you have all the delve cards here, but you've also got the Whip of Erebos that also wants to do stuff with your graveyard.
Yeah, I just noticed... things out of it. I just noticed that those two don't really go together. The whip, I wonder, although I guess with some of the stuff he's running, the whip is probably worth it because of Ashen Rider, Hornet Queen, Siege Rhino.
Yeah, that might be the actual game plan here, is to just dump these things in the yard and then whip them back out because...
Holy crap, Nyx Weaver! I've never even seen Nyx Weaver.
It's your favorite spider.
At the beginning of your upkeep, you mill yourself for 2. Well, there's your fuel right there. Good lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll actually dig something back out, too.
Yeah. I said he's got an Empty the Pits in the main, which is weird. Like, why is everyone playing Empty the Pits? Just to see? Surely it can't be that good.
Because the new Wrath...
It's a freaking instant. Ugh, I keep forgetting it's an instant.
It's an instant, and they can't Wrath it if you actually resolve it. So, because you're just going to kill them.
Wait, why can't you Wrath it?
Because you use it at the end of their turn.
Oh, because it's
can't cast Wrath.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounded like that was a new thought, and I was like, that doesn't... But no, okay. It was the same thought. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's first place. Second place is a completely different Abzan midrange deck. Hey, look, yep. Abzan Charm. Fleece Maiden Lions. More Siege Rhino. So great. He's also playing 3 copies of Wingmate Rock. Man. And Afenza in the board. This is more like the other one we saw, I think. Maybe. Actually, don't remember the other one now because I only glanced at it for a minute. But, whoops, this is Modern. Hang on, where did Standard go? Here it is. So, third place, Red-Green Monsters. Fourth place, Green-Red Devotion. Hey, look at that. Fifth place is a Mono-Green Devotion. Sixth is Naya Midrange. What?
Naya?
That's not... What? Hold on now. And it's essentially the same deck we've seen before, but this time he's got... Wingmate Rock, because why not? It's freaking amazing. A Johnny Steadfast, A Johnny Mentor of Heroes, Elspeth, Sarkon, Xenagos, Vanishing Like Magma Jet, and Bow. Yeah, okay. Seems fine.
I think the Wingmate Rock really gives them the extra push ahead, since it's really hard to deal with two creatures.
Especially two guys with four butt in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the life gain from this, even if you only gain a small amount over the course of the game before they finally deal with it, that's going to keep you alive longer to play your bigger, scarier things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, hang on, that was Naya mid-range. Then we have just labeled mono green. What is that? There's no other word.
It's a blue deck.
Oh, okay. It's got islands. Gotcha. And it's also not loading. Oh, here we go. It's a mono green.
With Doomwake Giant.
With Doomwake Giant and Farika.
I was going to say, wait a minute. This is not mono green.
Yeah, it's a green-black devotion deck. And this one is just, it's got four Court of Calling. Look at that.
Oh, well, that's how they're doing that then.
And then.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the one Doomwake Giant. And the one Farika, and everything else appears to be just green, green in the face, green up your upside your head. Yeah. Okay, then we have Jund Monsters, and then Big Green. What in the world is going on here? Who's naming these things? Okay, so the Jund Monsters is exactly what it used to be, but with Murderous Cut and Sarkon added in. Murderous Cut in this deck is just wrong. Because you're like, aha! I can finally stop your... No, you can't. It's dead. Shut up. Ugh. Okay. And then Big Green is... It's another...
It's appropriately named.
It's just another mono green deck, but it seems to have... It doesn't even seem to have a bigger top end. It's just mono green. Hmm. Interesting. Okay, then. That is not standard.
So, have you seen this Ascendancy combo deck that's out in 11th?
I have not, and I am fascinated. Have you seen it?
I had heard about what people were trying to do with Jeskai Ascendancy in Modern, and this seems to be the standard version of this. So Jeskai Ascendancy, which is the enchantment that says, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, pump all your dudes by +1/+1 until end of turn and untap them. That's key. And whenever you cast a non-creature spell, you may draw a card if you do discard a card. So it lets you, you know, cycle through the cards you don't want so that you keep nothing but instants and sorceries so that you can cast those to make your dudes bigger with the Jeskai Ascendancy. And some of the dudes that you're making bigger are things, well, that you're untapping is the key here, are things like Rattleclaw Mystic, who makes mana, and Sylvan Caryatid. I mean, sure, it's a defender, so you're not really attacking with it, but you can keep untapping it when you do this to get more mana.
And Kura's Follower effectively gets you more mana because lands.
Yeah. So it's essentially, it's kind of like, in Modern, they're using it as a storm deck. Okay, so you're cycling through your deck with a bunch of cantrips and Jeskai Ascendancy to try and rack up the storm count and then kill with a standard storm spell. But here, we've got no storm, so... Yeah. We're killing you with
a really big Rattleclaw Mystic? I don't know.
Yeah?
You're pretty much wrecking them with Retraction Helix every turn until you can actually kill them with something else.
Oh, wow. Just gonna bounce your board now.
Yeah.
Hope you don't mind. Have a nice day. God, with that, you can beat them to death with a Rattleclaw Mystic. I don't recognize...
Oh, and a Twin Flame is actually kind of sick in this deck.
Put a token like, oh my god!
Yeah, that's probably the other win con.
Yeah, because if you get multiple Twin Flames going with the Jeskai Ascendancy out, you get a bunch of Rattleclaw Mystics and Kiora's Followers, and you're making them all big with Jeskai Ascendancy, and you're bouncing everything with your Retraction Helixes, and yeah, you just punch the guy in the face. This is interesting. I'm not sure that I like it, but it's interesting.
I mean, it's got Astral Cornucopia in a deck, and it's not doing it ironically, so.
Yeah, it's because it costs zero.
And Briber's Purse.
Because it costs zero.
Yeah, just one of each, but, you know, why not?
There are options.
It's true. That's weird, though. That's a trip. Where did that finish?
If it's sufficiently weird, you can also... 11.
That was 11th.
Okay.
You can also board in the Swan Songs and give yourself flyers. I mean, it's something that you can do.
That's true.
Like, if I were to make this, I would want to have, like, one copy of an actual Jeskai just to get huge and attack with. But, I don't know. It's neat.
All right. Let's see here. That was 11th. two Naya monsters in 12th and 13th, a Temur monsters in 14th, another Abzan midrange in 15th, an Abzan constellation, which I'm going to guess, let's see, Elvish Mystic, Hornet Queen, Sylvan Caryatid, Brain Maggot, because he's an enchantment.
Because ew.
Ew.
Courser is an enchantment, Doomwake Giant is an enchantment, Eidolon is an enchantment, and Farika is an enchantment. So lots of that going around. There's also Banishing Light, which is an enchantment.
Yep.
Huh. Oh, and Elspeth, because you need to win at some point when you're done screwing around.
In theory.
Man. Let's see. So that's the top 16. Anything else jump out at? There's another Ascendancy combo deck in 24th.
Yeah. It's built a bit differently. Insofar as what the cards that it's running for spells are. It actually has a few more actually kill you conditions in it.
Hmm. Like?
Well, when you have the Burning Anger in there, then your Kiora's follower is shocking them every time you tap.
Holy crap, I missed that when I was mousing through these. That's probably pretty good.
Also, the Treasure Cruise is probably only going to cost you a blue at the rate you're burning through your deck. So, that's fun too.
Yeah, he's got Divination, Treasure Cruise, Commune with the Gods to, and Dig Through Time to dig through stuff, so.
He doesn't have the retractions in the main, though. So it plays, oh, and Karanos. Because why not?
Because why not? He's in the board, though, so.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting. Be nice to see if that deck just goes, or if it, you know, sticks around and evolves.
I know, it evolve rotated.
I really hate you.
You knew it was coming, though.
I actually didn't. That's why I hate you. Oh, well. So that's the first look at the new standard. If you want a mathematical look at the new standard and what cards are big and all of that, where'd it go? Oh, I didn't reopen it. Who wrote this?
Who wrote what?
The Gathering
Magic. I put the link in the show notes, but I didn't write the article.
No, yeah,
that was by Nick.
Nick V. Nick. Oh, okay. I see your problem. Nick Vigabool. Vigabool? Vigabool. We're going to go with that. But yeah. Nick V at Gathering Magic, where he's got lots of graphs. And
yeah, the most interesting thing I see, because what he did was he looked at the top 32 finishers in these two SCG events. And the most interesting part is there's a heck of a lot of green, which comes as no surprise. Mm-hmm. And something like 56% of the decks were three colors.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I'm really not surprised that green is leading the way. It had a bunch of really good creatures going into this. It's what you run for a lot of the fixing. It ramps well into all these cool new things, and, you know.
I mean,
blue, on the other hand, is way down at the bottom because no one knows how to control yet.
I don't even know if blue is going to be the color of control anymore. Seems like the Abzans seem to have that sort of tied up nicely. But yeah, you have to remember two of the biggest cards in the previous standard and in the current standard. And actually, they're the two biggest cards in this weekend were Sylvan Caryatid and Courser of Kruphix, followed by Elvish Mystic, followed by Polukranos, World Eater. So, yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
There's a lot. Wow. This is crazy. It is interesting to see just how different the two metas were, given that they're both the first week of Standard in different places. That's kind of nice.
This is a great time to play Standard, honestly, if you happen to have a deck that you want to try, because no one's really solidified anything yet. You're not really going to see it stabilizing until after the Grand Prix, so.
Which Grand Prix?
Or not the Grand Prix, the Pro Tour thing.
Oh, okay.
Whatever they normally do, like 2 weeks in, where everyone sees new deck list, and then they all immediately go out and buy copies of Sphinx's Revelation.
Oh, yeah, that guy. When is the Pro Tour?
2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, next weekend is Orlando, so I think it's the weekend after that.
Okay.
They usually give us a few weeks to frantically buy horribly up-priced cards.
Yeah, we do.
Then play, so.
Nice. So yeah, if you want to see his metagame breakdown and colors and creatures and spells, just everything here, the link to that is in the show notes, so I highly recommend you check it out. It's entertaining.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Wow, the number, removal main. Oh look, he's counting Sarkhan as removal.
I could see that.
So an actual removal spell, the number one new card is Crater's Claws. And then Abzan Charm and then Murderous Cut. Oops, he's got Sorin in here too. Why is Sorin in here is under removal? He makes dudes. What's his limit break?
Soren shouldn't be removal.
Okay, just making sure.
Not that I can think of. Anyway. Let me look at Soren again. I don't remember him having any removal abilities.
I mean, he makes a 2-2, or he gives your guys +1/+0 in lifelink, or limit.
Yeah, like the emblem where they sack a creature, but that's not removal, that's just hard control.
Oh, okay. Well, at least they sack a creature, that's probably why you put it there, so.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I figured that Murderous Cut would be higher up.
You have to build a deck that can use it.
You mean a deck
I mean, it doesn't
swamps?
Take much, but it's one of those things where they're not going to just randomly throw it around when there's another removal spell that kills planeswalkers.
That is a good point. Yeah, all right. Yeah, link to that is in the show notes. As I said, let's talk about something that's not standard. You guys want to do Modern or Legacy? Blah, blah, blah.
That is up to you, sir.
Well, then, what's this tab? This tab is Legacy. Let's do Legacy.
Legacy it is! You want to go Jersey or Indy first? Let's go Jersey first.
You have to go Jersey first, so, you know, there's a progression upwards.
So,
are you saying that Indy is a chaser for Jersey?
Sure. 260 players showed up for Legacy in Jersey. And taking it down with Blue-Red Delver is Bob Huang. Huang? Bob. Bob H.
Yeah.
Bob H. Yeah. Blue-Red Delver, which, by the way, contains 4 copies of Monastery Swift Spear.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How about them apples? In a Delver deck, no less.
Also, Wooded Foothills and Polluted Delta, which are... okay, there.
Yeah, shut up.
They were there before, so, but still. Oh,
he's also got 4 copies of Treasure Cruise. No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to keep happening.
Because drawn 3 cards in formats with lots of fetch lands and instants. Totally a thing.
Yeah, I can see that. So wait,
also,
many creatures was the Delver deck running?
This one?
Well, just before this, before the new card.
Depends on which Delver. Because there are many flavors of Delver.
Okay, well, how about the
Blue-Red?
The Blue-Red, yeah, this deck.
The Blue-Red typically ran your Delver of Secrets, sometimes the Young Pyromancer. I feel like there's something else that they would cram in there.
Was the Eidolon in this one sometimes?
No.
No, it can't be, no.
That would hurt you.
You would kill yourself.
I was saying, because in this Delver deck, they've added 4 more creatures, but I think it more than makes up for the chance of not flipping your Delver, because...
Yeah. Because Monastery Swift Spear in a format with Brainstorm, yeah.
Yeah.
Delver Plan B.
That's going to... And Plan C is Young Pyromancer, because when you're casting those instants that make your Swift Spear bigger, let's just make some dudes too.
Seems fine.
So this is actually an interesting addition here. I like it a lot.
I'm just imagining the fun of the Swift Spear attacking, and you try to do something about it, and then that, as usual, out of nowhere force of will actually pumps it on top of ruining your day. Because it's not good enough.
Yeah. In second place, we had a Reanimator deck, which looks like it contains no new cards.
It does have Sire of Insanity.
I was
going to
say,
which...
although it does have a Sire of Insanity in here.
That seems new. New-ish.
It's new-ish.
Seems like it would usually be something you'd find in the board, if it was going to be in the deck at all.
Yeah, well, if you've got a Sire of Insanity out, you don't actually care if you don't have a hand.
That is a very good point. You're right, I could give a damn if I have a hand, yeah? Yeah.
You know, basically they have the turn to take care of it. If they don't, well, they're done.
Sweet.
So, seems good. Third place, Manaless Dredge. We've talked about Manaless Dredge before. I can't imagine there's anything new that would have gone into this. Looks like no.
Ashen Rider popped up again. You crazy guy.
Go home, Ashen Rider. You're drunk.
Then we have Miracles in fourth. We have Sultai Delver in fifth and sixth. And
so that used to be, hang on, that's black. That used to be Bug Delver.
Yeah.
Okay.
It still is Bug Delver.
Well, yeah. But now
and
it's Sultai Bug.
I was going to say, they've added Sultai Charm and Treasure Cruise. So it looks like Treasure Cruise is getting around. Dig Through Time in Gerard Fabiano's list in sixth place. Which is also a Sultai Delver.
He is not running the Treasure Cruise, so he's got the Dig Through Time instead.
Yes.
Okay, I see.
Yes, he does. And, you know, Dig Through Time... okay, I could see it. I could see it.
Can you see it, Clue?
Well, you know, the only thing I question here is anything with Delve when you're running Tarmogoyf might not work how you want it to.
That does seem awkward.
But, you know, in general, you can probably just exile a few cards to make it cheaper. You don't have to exile all six.
And so you avoid a Smite the Monstrous.
Your opponent's probably got the same crap in their graveyard, too. So, okay, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
We'll allow it.
Seems fine.
Yeah. Seventh place, Dredge. Normal Dredge with some mana this time, I believe. Yes, normal. Normal with Dredge mana. With some mana.
Manified Dredge.
That's right. Dredge, now with extra mana.
Woof.
And in eighth place, we've got Sneak and Show. And looks like nothing new here.
Although, to be honest, what would there be new?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If you're sneaking in an Emrakul, what else do you need? Not a whole lot.
Are they ever going to go ahead and ban Emrakul, you think?
It'd be nice, but no. There's only like the deck that actually uses him, and
it's like six variations.
Yeah, so long as there's a Force of Will, no, they probably won't.
Balls.
Now, let's just take a quick glance at the outside top eight. I'm just going to pick some random decks here. In 9th, 13th, and 14th, we've got Elves, and Elves.
Those are completely random.
I only mentioned that because now let us turn our attention to Indianapolis, where we had 260 players, the exact same number as at New Jersey. Let me tell you, this top eight, you have heard me on this show many a time rail against top eights that are not diverse. And believe it or not, I'm going to do it again. And when I do, you're going to see how that's kind of weird. In first place, Bobby Colgrove takes it down with Elves. And I don't think we got any new fuel for Elves here. We got the Reclamation Sage back in M15. And beyond that, I don't think there's anything new for us Elves players. Yeah. In second place, John Johnson with Elves. So, hey, first place and second place, you had an Elves mirror match. That's kind of interesting, I guess. You know, I like to see Elves making a showing. That's great. Third place, we had Elves. This looks pretty much like those other two Elves decks. And in fourth place, hey, the top four is Elves.
That's amazing.
Hooray! Wait.
I don't actually know, although this one does have Blood Moon in the sideboard. Did any of the others? No, but this one does have Blood Moon in the sideboard, which they're casting off of the Miser Taiga that's in here. The Taiga's also there for Rurik Thar, which is hilarious, by the way. But still, first through fourth were all Elves. That's
weird.
That's weird. I have no idea what happened in Indianapolis this weekend. fifth place, Maverick. Okay, I continue
Where
to not
that
know
been?
What happened to in Indianapolis this weekend. But let's see. Maybe they got some new cards they wanted to try out. No. Yeah, that's a big no. No, they did not get new cards.
Story there, good buddy.
That they wanted to try out. This is the Maverick we all know and used to know. Sixth place, Reanimator. Seventh place, Sneak and Show. And in eighth place, Burn. Now, did this Burn have
the...
It did not have the Monastery Swift Claw.
Yeah. It's running Swift Spear, by the way.
I'm sorry.
It's running the standard Goblin Guide Eidolon Grim Lavamancer that we've seen ever since the Eidolon was printed.
Yeah. So there you go. That was Legacy in Indy with holy... I'm going to call this Holy Crap Elves.
And, you know, now that you mention it, I can understand why they didn't put it in here. Because you don't want to remove any of your ridiculous burn. And these creatures are all just better.
I'm not sure that I agree. There is a argument to be made that...
the Lavamancer might not be.
No, the Goblin Guide needs to go. Why should I give you a land card for that one extra power? Because being a goblin doesn't help you. There's nothing in here that synergizes with goblins.
But the only
thing he does is give you, you know, sometimes card advantage.
Yeah, in this deck I could see you running the other dude instead, because you're going to probably have two power out of it all the time anyway.
Yeah, sometimes three.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, I can see that.
I mean, usually a Goblin Guide is just going to eat some removal early on anyway, so they may as well waste their removal on your not Swift Claw, Swift Spear. There we go.
Is there something? There's something called Swift Claw, isn't there? It was in him.
Yeah, Oresko.
It was in
Swift
Theros. Claw. Yeah. Okay.
Which is why I keep trying to say that.
Yeah.
I think the only new card we've even seen floating around over here anywhere was the Sneak and Show deck running a Dig Through Time. That's it.
Interesting.
So there you go. That's Legacy. Again, I love Elves. This was more Elves than I expected to make it to the top 8.
Yeah, it feels to me when things like that happen, like a lot of people thought that another deck would be good. Like they wanted to, like a group was trying out a new list or something. And that list was good enough to knock out whatever is good against Elves, but not good enough to make it the top 8.
Right, but here's the thing. What's good against Elves? Anything with a counter spell for your Natural Order. Anything with a counter spell for your Glimpse. Anything with properly timed removal.
So all of those decks that would normally be called Delver that aren't in the top 8, that didn't make it to the top 8.
Yeah, but what took out the Delver decks?
That's what we have to find out, Clues.
Yeah, we do need to know this. If you know what took out the Delver decks, please, for the love of God, tell me.
Maybe it was other Delver decks.
May have been. I don't know.
Delver on Delver violence, guys. But yeah, we don't know. Somebody who knows, tell us. Cause that'd be great.
Yeah, if you could go ahead and let us know, that would be great.
That'd be great.
So, hey, Bill.
Hey.
I took Standard. Clues took Legacy. You want to take Modern?
Oh, boy. Hey, look, it's Modern. I have no idea where. All right, so let's start in Jersey again, because that's where we always start. And in Jersey, I have no idea how many people were in the Modern event, because I don't actually know where that number pops out.
In Jersey, we had 94 players for Modern.
That seems kind of low.
It does, in fact, seem kind of low.
Huh. Hmm. Okay.
But Jersey had a lower attendance overall for all of their events, except for Legacy, which was at parity. But still, it was lower in Jersey.
Fair enough.
Okay. So we're going to start off the Jersey Top 8 with Mono Red Burn. Mono Red Burn featuring... Are there new cards?
Surely the Monastery is... No. What?
No.
I don't see any new cards.
Wait, what?
No. Why would there be new cards? He's got Keldon Marauders and Goblin Guide.
Okay.
I got nothing. Yeah, there are no new cards in the Mono Red deck. So, hey, second place is... Teamer Twin deck, because we get to name them Teamer now.
Teamer
Twin, from the makers of Femur Twin.
Formerly known as Tarmo Twin, but we've just given up on that, I guess.
Yeah, evidently. It does still have Tarmo, and it does still have Twin, and I'm looking for things that are new and special about this one. And
I don't know how much new stuff we're going to find in Modern.
Yeah, it's just sad that they named it Teamer and didn't even...
Well, no, wait a minute. Here, do you know what's actually new?
Oh,
how about some fetch lands?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's Wooded Foothills.
Yeah, it wasn't in Modern before, you're right. Now they can play those. So it got a little more stable. And then in third place, we have Abzan Midrange. Which
is just weird.
Wait,
oh wait, because Abzan was junk, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Ooh.
Dis.
Fired. Yeah, I'm assuming it has some more lands that it didn't have before now. What would it be, white-green in this one?
There's, I don't see any.
I don't even know,
They didn't even bother to get some fetches. They're like, screw it.
Maybe they just didn't want to buy any new cards, so they just showed up with their existing deck. But hey, third place, good job.
Seems good.
Fourth place, Storm. Come on, Storm, have something new. Be worth our time. Storm is never worth our time.
What kind of storm is... Oh, there's Grape Shot. I don't see... Yeah, there's just Grape Shot in the main. There's the Empty the Warrens in the board. Okay.
The much more interesting Storm deck was back in Standard with a different name. I do like the Snow-Covered Land, though. That's always fun.
Yeah, you do.
All right. So that's fourth place Storm. Fifth place, Robots.
You mean...
Gold Metalcraft.
I was going to say, you mean Metalcraft?
Yeah. Which, not surprisingly, got nothing from this format because... Why?
How about Metalbots?
Sounds so much like Metabots.
I believe they were a GoBots ripoff.
And considering GoBots themselves were a ripoff, that's pretty sad.
Yep.
When you make a copy of a copy, it turns out crappy. All right.
Xerox learning.
Yep. So then, fifth place, same thing. More Metalcraft GoBots. And
Leader One, that was his name. He was the good guy.
Did you look that up, or did you just remember?
No, it
that?
Just occurred to me. All of a sudden, the Jets' name was Leader One. That was his name.
That's an impressive name. I feel bad for number two.
Leader One Financial at leaderone.com.
Oh, it's going to turn out to be a porn site. You're going to feel bad.
He's a banker. Oh, God, I love this game.
Yep. So then floating over in seventh place, we have black/green midrange, because you're right, we are out of using guild names now. And it is noteworthy for having, I think, everything that it always had, but it has a damnation. You know who doesn't have a damnation? My friend
Leader
the ball
one?
Box.
Oh, now I'm sad again.
Yeah. But hey, we can go back and we can remember the days of Abrupt Decay. So that's something.
Oh, yes, Abrupt Decay.
And then in eighth we have, I'm just going to call it Boros Burn anyway. So Boros Burn, nobody wanted to use any new cards, and that makes me sad.
Like I said, I don't know how much we're going to see in Modern.
Not yet, anyway.
Like, Legacy players, the stuff that works for Legacy is the cheap, nifty stuff.
And yeah.
The stuff that works for Modern is what everyone wants, or for Standard is what everyone's like, oh god, gimme, 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 and they're like, oh yeah, there's Modern! Guys? Hello?
Yeah. Fetch I guess tickets. Now that they're seeing Legacy play, we'll probably see some hasty one-drops and red decks next week, but for right now, they're not that excited. And then, I'm not going to bother digging through the rest of the top 16 based on the first eight not having anything exciting.
Yeah, not really.
Very so. Well.
Then there's Indie Modern top 16.
Where 152 players showed up to battle in Modern.
That is not a small number.
All right. And so winning it is Blue Moon.
I saw you standing alone.
Thank you, Chewie. I was about to do that.
You're welcome, sir. Always
Blue Moon.
In hand.
Blue Moon was kind enough to run a dick through time
for us.
Wait,
wait, wait, wait. That's no moon.
Yeah, I'm not justifying that. But yeah, so Blue Moon is actually at least running a dig through time, proving that someone bothered to open a pack of Tarkir and then said, hey, I could totally put this in my Modern deck as they were registering their deck. Good job. Good rare pull. I don't see anything else new in this. So hey, that's Blue Moon. Second place, five color amulet. I don't know. Is that amulet of vigor?
I was thinking that was, it is amulet of vigor.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, amulet of vigor makes much more sense.
Yeah. And
it's got hive mind in it.
Yeah. And nothing else new and of note that I can see. I'm looking for the mana base because there's a lot of land.
Hive mind is where you find out if people actually understand how the stack works.
That's where you find out whether or not people are true human beings or monsters. But
can I just go ahead and say they're probably monsters?
Yeah, spoiler
pretty
alert.
Pretty likely. Yeah. But yeah, I don't even see new land for this, so whatever. Third place, Jeskai Flash. Are there Jeskai cards in this? Please let there be Jeskai cards in this.
Ooh, there might be. I don't see any, though.
I don't see any either.
Nope.
Not even.
Not even in the board.
In fact, Flooded Strand, do you consider that a Jeskai card?
Probably not.
No?
No, right. Probably not. I mean, it is a Jeskai card without the symbol, but still. I'm not going to count that. I was really hoping there'd be at least a charm or something floating around in here. It'd be a crazy ascendancy to take advantage of the untapping or something of all the flash creatures.
What about a Ganjo Castle? That looks like a Jeskai card.
That's profiling.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Just look at the art. It looks like art that could be on a land from Jeskai.
I am never going house shopping with you, Clues.
Not never.
So fourth place, we have Gobot Robot Metalcraft Deck. And as usual, nothing new.
I am far too amused by that.
Sixth place. Oh no, fifth place, we got Ugtron.
Ugtron.
Ugtron is probably not running anything new, but let's just make sure very quickly.
I don't see anything.
Nah. Why would it? There's no robot things to be found around here. All right. Sixth place, we've got Burn.
We do. And look at that.
Monastery of Spear. Bam. Get there.
Wait, which one?
Burn. Our favorite one drop in red.
Oh, Swift Spear. Okay. I heard something about a sphere and I was like, I don't get it. Because
Swift Sphere,
clearly an idiot is actually the problem here.
Swift Sphere, also known as a bullet, very accurately destroys the world. But yeah, that's good. It's nice to see that someone's using new cards. Good job. Seventh place, more Jeskai Flash.
Which has a singleton Jeskai charm.
Well, I'm happy now.
Woo!
Was that so hard?
I'm gonna guess yes.
Evidently, I mean. And finally, in eighth place, they called it Rug Twin. What is up with that?
With us.
Oh,
that's
God.
Terrible.
I love this game.
You guys are calling, that's awful. Shame. Please tell me there's a new card in here just to make this gravy. I would really like for them to use all of the con names on the ones that don't have new cards and then mess it up on the one that has an actual one.
No, this one looks like we have no changes.
That's unfortunate.
I don't even see a fetch.
I was going to say, there's not even a fetch.
Does not care.
See, that's why. There's not even a fetch, so they didn't name it after the...
Honey Badger. That's what that is.
I could believe it. Okay, Honey Badger works in Star City.
I want to check out this 11th place Ascendancy Pod deck, or Ascendancy Combo deck.
Ascendancy Pod sounds terrifying.
It does.
It really does.
By the way, 9th and 10th were Kiki Pod, but we don't care. Ascendancy Combo in Modern. Good lord, look at this.
All the mana.
This is crazy! Okay, yep. So creature base, 2 Arbor Elf.
Yes.
4 Birds of Paradise.
Bolt the Bird.
4 4 yeah. Noble Hierarch.
Bolt the Druid.
4 Sylvan Caryatid. Aha!
You can still bolt that. No,
you can't. And a Dryad Arbor.
That you can bolt the crap out of.
And you should.
And then, oh my god, I don't even know how to start looking at this. So, it's there's glorious. The Jeskai Ascendancy, obviously.
Yep. Yes.
3 of them for a reason.
Yeah. They've got Cerulean Wisps, which if you're going, huh? For a single blue, target creature becomes blue until end of turn. That doesn't matter. Untap that creature. That matters.
That matters.
Draw a card. That also matters.
Yep.
And then there's 3 mana Morphos. A Noxious Revival, just because. A set of Gitaxian Probe. A set of Glittering Wish.
Which matters so much.
Yeah, because the fourth Ascendancy is down here in the board.
Oh,
yeah, it's also
that.
The fourth mana Morphos.
And the fourth mana Morphos. Yeah,
because that can continue your chain if you start running out of cards and mana.
Along with lots of other...
Maelstrom Pulse.
Answers. Yeah, Wheel of Sun and Moon, Maelstrom Pulse, Abrupt Decay, Guttural Response, Rakdos Charm, Simic Charm, Fire Spout. It's just flesh and blood. It's just how many answers can we throw in the wish board? Because it's not a sideboard anymore. It's a wish board.
Yeah.
Meddling Mage.
Oh, I missed Chris, or I guess it's not Chris anymore. Sad. Okay, So going back up, there's a Grape Shot, which is the win.
Yep.
Yeah, why not?
Serum Visions, because, Sleight of Hand, same answer, and Treasure Cruise.
Hop on board the Treasure Cruise.
I like this a lot better than the standard version, because this could actually win.
It has lots of stuff to do.
This is kind of ridiculous.
This is completely ridiculous. Who did this? Who did Robert Graves, we salute you.
I'm really happy to see a good use for Glittering Wish. I mean, it often has good ones, but when you see a whole bunch of threes and then you see four Glittering Wishes and you just know the plan came together.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
It is pretty nice. Oh, man.
So that was cool.
That is awesome. There was also another Burn deck in 12th place, but he's running Vexing Devil and not the Swift Spear.
Choices.
Yeah. Either way is probably fine, to be honest. So, and look, then further down, there's a Rug Scapeshift. It says Rug.
Yeah, I'm looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Okay, so that's, 13th? And then Mono Blue Tron, and then Affinity, and then Blue-Black Control in Modern. What is that? I don't actually know what that is.
Up Control. Well,
it's Snapcaster and Jace, and then all of that.
It's got Dig Through Times in it.
It does. And all the removal and counter spells and Thoughtseize and Inquisition.
Damnation.
Tarnation. Damnation.
I mean, there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
It's a medical term.
It's true. I read it in Grey's Anatomy.
You saw it on Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah.
I was reading the script for the Unrevealed episode.
Ah. So, 15 hours into this show, and that was the Star City Open. Luckily, the rest of the news is actually pretty, it's not light, but there's...
It's not six tournaments.
Exactly, yeah. So, I love New Standard. I swear I do, but...
It is definitely more interesting than Old Standard.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Next weekend, though, the GP next weekend is going to be limited, so you guys are off the hook on that.
Well, there's two next week, so...
Are there? Oh, that's right.
There's Orlando, and then there's one in... There's one overseas somewhere. I just remember seeing the name and going, oh, okay. So there's two to talk about next week, and then I forgot, but...
All right.
Because there hasn't been one since the beginning of freaking September. No, not September. This is the beginning. Yeah, the beginning of September.
Yeah.
So the next one won't be till the beginning of October. We had a month without a GP, and it was kind of nice, actually. I'm not going to lie. But so what is... There's an article here called Pro Tour Cons of Tarkir Spectator Events. And I didn't know... I don't know what that is. Because... So for the longest time, Pro Tours were like GPs, just with less people. They were wide open. Everyone could go. And then they said, you know what? No. It's closed to the public. All y'all piss off.
That's about what happened, yeah.
But I don't know... if that's still the case, because I don't go to Pro Tours, obviously, as much as I would love to.
Considering they have a spectator hall, I can't imagine that's the case.
Exactly, yeah.
But I didn't see an announcement changing the policy either, so...
I didn't either, but it says the very first sentence under spectator hall hours is, the tournament hall opens up to the public starting Friday, October 10th at 8 a.m. So, you know, there's that. It says that the tables for the Pro Tour main event are set up to allow you to view just about every game of Magic going on each round. That is freaking cool. So
I guess if you find yourself in Hawaii.
Good job.
Nice work. And I guess you could go to the Pro Tour.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're there for the Pro Tour, surely you've got better things to do in Hawaii.
Hopefully. I mean, you could go hang out with a volcano and then watch the Pro Tour on your iPad. And then when you get sufficiently upset about the fact that it buffers horribly, you can throw your iPad into a volcano and say it was that bad.
Warning, though, chances are Wizards Pro Tour coverage will not get you a new one.
Let's say that you're observing at Mauna Kea. Why are you going to the Pro Tour? You've got time on Mauna Kea. Get back to work.
Yeah, I would much rather have time on Mauna Kea. I'm not going to lie.
Admittedly, one thing that would convince you to at least walk in for a little while is the pretty sweet playmat they have.
It is pretty sweet.
Because I like that. Have you guys seen the five cons playmats that have been put out for this?
Essentially
the group shots of each con.
Oh, okay.
They're neat, but honestly, like, I really prefer having an iconic card on a playmat. You know, one where it's like focusing on one creature rather than here's our entire team of Mardu guys. So whenever I see playmats like this one, which is the awesome Jeskai, check me out being all zen and stuff.
Narset.
Is that Narset?
That's Narset.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Still being pretty awesome. So those are nice.
Yeah. Now, if you want a playmat that is a group shot, then why not get a mana pool playmat once I get the damn things delivered?
I do have one of those coming.
Yeah, you do.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it will. But I was talking to everyone that doesn't have one already.
You should also get those.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty sweet. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff going on. Local vendor with a name that looks really hard to say until you realize it's Toy Links.
Yeah, I was trying really hard to pronounce that in my head.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it clicked.
Toy Links.
Yeah, it's Toy Links. Okay.
Saturday.
They'll be running scheduled events all day, so... Like I said, apparently it's open to the public again, but that's weird. And of course, some members of R&D will be there spell slinging. There's just stuff going on. So
they're
it's open to the
really
public.
Hard to compete with Hawaii.
Yeah. So go check that out. Let's see. The link to that's in the show notes. The link to all of this is always in the show notes. So that's just do it. The date for Grand Prix Indianapolis in 2015 is different now.
It is.
I don't know when it was, but it's now October 30th, 31st, and November 1st. So
happy
it
Halloween.
Got moved. Yes, happy Halloween. Now go play some Magic. Oh, it was in May. Wow, that's a big change.
That is a shift.
It says to help ensure reasonable travel costs and hotel availability. So something else must be going on in May.
Maybe.
Yeah, in Indy in May.
Okay,
really
I know
the World Pog Championship.
I know there's something I'm missing here, but I don't know what it is. Oh, was that Gen Con? No, not Gen Con. What's the one in Indy, guys?
Like
the Magic thing?
I don't know, but there's obviously something going. I thought you guys were leading up to something like, duh.
No. I was just thinking out loud.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. We're vague, referring to other things going on in the magic world in May that we don't know about.
I'd like to know what weekend it used to be.
Both that we don't know about. Wish they'd hurry up and announce that. I'm getting sick of waiting.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on.
It was early May. Maybe they were trying to compete with the Indy 500, which would be stupid.
Oh, God, so that would be awful.
That might have been what
it was. I was going to say, the Indy 500 is May 24th in 2015.
That could have been a mistake on their part.
If it was that weekend, Gen Con is in Indianapolis, but in 2015, it's July 30th to August 2nd.
Okay. They probably scheduled against the Indy 500 and felt really stupid.
Yeah, because some
nerds... I mean, I would if I did that.
Some nerds do like a race, but race fans love a race, so...
And they've already booked their hotel rooms.
Yeah, they have. Theirs have been booked for probably years. So let's see. Moving on. Someone asked Aaron Forsyth on Twitter, hey, when do we get the Cons of Tarkir novella? I didn't have anyone else to ask. And Aaron Forsyth said, there will be no ebook. We're telling the full story of Cons through Uncharted Realms. So I guess they realized that it just wasn't worth the effort again.
Maybe. I mean, alternatively, they got tired of accidentally spoiling the end of things and decided, you know what? If we put it on the website, we don't have to worry about that.
Accidentally nothing. They did that on purpose.
First, they took away my books from the fat packs and I said nothing. Then they took away my actual books and I said nothing. Then they took away the ebooks and, well, okay, it's fine for it to be on Uncharted Realms.
Well,
to be honest with you,
I
actually have no problem with this. I think they've been doing a fantastic job with doing all of the Vorthos stuff through Uncharted Realms. If only I could, number one, find it, and number two, remember to read it because it doesn't go up in the evenings anymore.
Yeah, middle of the day. Like, I hate to complain about it. Like, one, I haven't read the Magic website since well before this, so it's not my problem.
Yeah, I just haven't read it since they made the time change, to be honest with you.
I just haven't thought of anything on the Magic website since the time change happens. Like, I never, for years now, I have not gone to the Magic website to read articles. And then they made it harder to get to, so I didn't even want to try. And then the time change happened, and now I just don't think about the Magic website anymore. Like, I hate to complain, because it's like the, you know, video games were $50 for like 2 decades, and then they upped them to 60, and everyone bitched and moaned. It's not like, I don't want to do that, because we've been spoiled for a long time, but it's really hard to get used to.
Well, I mean, when it updates in the middle of the day for the East Coast, I mean, by then I'm at work, I'm doing things, you know, I used to check it either right before I went to bed or right when I woke up. And you might think, oh, but you could still do that. Well, I could, but I also read Twitter now and then throughout the day.
Yeah.
By the time my workday is over and I could actually sit down and read an article, everything I needed to know about, Twitter has already talked about.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same for me. Previously, I would look at the website. If it happened to be midnight and I was awake and bored but didn't want to go to sleep, I'd pull it up and...
So virtually every night.
Well, I would honestly pull it up because I wanted to see if they had a little announcing thing at the bottom of the page. And they don't have that anymore because the layout of the page changes every day based on the articles that are put up. There's no consistent place for me to look to see if there's an announcement. And by the afternoon when I'm, you know, done being at work or whatever, if anything important happens, Twitter will be talking about it. And then I don't have to look at the website. Unless it's directly me to it, in which case I look exactly at the article that I'm being pointed at, and I never actually look at the main page. I mainly use the website now just to pull up calendar events and to pull things that we talk about here. So that's about it.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry, what were we talking about before we went off on the website? Was it the ebook?
Yeah.
It's not. Yes, okay.
The thing so where you were saying nothing.
Gonna be in Uncharted Realms, and again, I think they've been doing a great job with their flavor stuff in Uncharted Realms, so keep doing it.
Ooh, I hope I hit mute in time. That was particularly violent.
You did.
Okay, good.
Good job.
Whew. Okay, there's also an example called Sorin's Revelation linked in the show notes, because we'll put it there, and why not? So the Dual Deck Anthology, which, did I correct myself on this show or on the Mana Pool? About the card frame?
That was I think you did show. That here because...
Yeah, because you fixed me because I was an idiot. Okay. So the Wizards Play Network has released availability. And it's depending on store level. Core level stores get 3 to 5. Advanced level stores get 8 to 10. And advanced plus level stores get 12 to 15. So this is going to be not as rare as a Commander's Arse or a From the Vault. I guess this is right about From the Vault level, isn't it?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So if you're looking to get these, then you might want to go ahead and start poking your local shop because apparently they come out very soon. Where's the date? Oh, it's at the top. October 12th? Really? Wow. Hmm.
It even has a number of days left counter.
It does. Isn't that precious? So yeah, that's important. If you missed these back in the day, or if you weren't playing back in the day or whatever, you really want them. Here, shell out your $100. Might be more. I don't know if this is the sort of thing where the retail price, if you're not going to be able to get it at retail or not, I don't know. I guess it's going to depend on demand?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, if a whole bunch of people want them, the price gouging will happen, but I don't know that that's going to be the case here.
I don't know.
Sometimes the appeal of dual decks is the fact that they give you some cards that you can actually play with. The only keynotes in these that are in standard right now are, like, Liliana Vess, right? I think that's it.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea.
I think Liliana Vess is the only card in any of these 8 decks that is in standard right now that you can't get for a nickel. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can get Liliana Vess for a lot less than $100, so you're probably actually just getting these if you're a collector or you actually want to have the decks to, you know, have an 8-man random showdown of pre-release things. I hope you didn't get the Demonic one.
I have to say, other than Divine versus Demonic, which is just miserably unbalanced, the other three are really fun. Like, when Elves vs. Goblins first came out, we had a blast with it. And same with Jace vs. Chandra. Jace vs. Chandra is a trip. I don't remember much about Garrick vs. Liliana, and that's a good sign, because that means that I didn't hate it as much as we did Divine vs. Demonic. So, yeah, check that out. It's going to be cool. If you've got the money, you know.
Yep.
Like, I hate to sound like, get off my lawn, but I look right over there, and I can see all four of those already, so I'm happy. And I'm happy that I have them. And that's a key. I'm happy that I have these four dual decks. So, yeah. Enough of that. So what else we got? I lost the show notes. Here we are.
F&M promo.
F&M promo.
Just scroll straight to the bottom of the page. Don't look at anything else.
Don't even
else.
Scroll. Just hit the end button.
Yeah, just get to the bottom of the page end. As fast as you can.
And then scroll up slightly, and you'll see that the December F&M promo is a Stoke the Flames with creatures, because it's got Convoke, and they're casting this sort of crazy fire dragon thing.
Yep.
Which it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But again, just go straight to the bottom.
Yeah, because November is the crazy, sickening brain maggot, and then October is the Fanatic of Xenagos, so...
The Fanatic of Xenagos, who is still upset that he picked up the jar upside down and all of his tang is escaping.
He's like, oh, okay.
I scrolled up. Oh, God.
See, you press home, Clues. Press home.
You just beat it when you should have French fried, buddy.
I did. You are absolutely right. I'm just going to close that tab. You know what?
I don't know
that what that tab's is. Now dead to me.
All right.
Clues is now uninstalling his browser.
Yes.
All right. One more actual bit of news. The Magic Online pre-release for cons is this Friday. I don't know who put that here.
I did right now, because talking about the website, I went to look at the calendar, just in case, and sure enough, the pre-release on the internet is this Friday.
So if you're one of the 12 people still playing version 4, 4?
4.
4, then, you know, enjoy that pre-release, you might get a top 8.
Pretty much.
And so, now in the rumor mill, we're going to jump into the rumor mill, something we don't usually do, but this is a rumor mill involving a level 5 judge and an upcoming tournament. So, according to level 5 judge Jason LeMahieu, who is a level 5, and he's a hell of a cool guy, Star City Games is planning for GP New Jersey to be huge, because either that or they're planning every side event ever, all the time, ever. Because according to LeMahieu, who would know, they're bringing out a whopping 205 judges for GP New Jersey.
Yeah, that is correct.
Now, Wildest Nakadal, Pat Cox, goes, well, how many are typically at a GP? LeMahieu replies, a more typical 1,500-player GP would have around 40 or so. do that math and then poop yourself and then go register for a room. Like now. Yeah. Like get off.
Yeah, there are a staggering number of judges on staff for this.
So I don't know if they are planning. Like, Evan Irwin, as he does, popped up and said, it's going to be a hell of a show. And that was his entire response.
He is a contributor.
Yeah. Someone else said, are there even 6,500 people that routinely play Legacy in North America? Because Jersey is Legacy. And Evan Irwin replied with unprecedented promotions, sleeves, playmat, deck box. I guess that's unprecedented. It's accessible. And also a standard deck is a Legacy deck, which is a terrible reason to go to a Legacy GP.
Yeah, that's miserable.
So ignore Evan Irwin and his hype.
Now,
bearing in mind, he is a marketing manager for Star City Games.
Exactly.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
I think that you're probably correct in your assertion that it may be side events like as far as the eye can see. And I say this based on the following. I'm actually on staff for Jersey, so I can see what the staff list looks like. Star City Games is running both Jersey and Orlando. For Orlando, they have 6 L1s on staff. Now, why do I mention that? Because normally we don't like to put L1s on the floor of the main event of a GP.
Right.
Sometimes you'll get one or two. They're usually buddied up with a more experienced judge just to get them experience at a GP. But still, 6 is a reasonable number of L1s for a GP. For Jersey, there are 21 L1s on staff.
That's desperate.
I don't think it's desperate. I think
desperate isn't like we need a lot of people kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that these desperate. Are all the folks that they're planning on having run all the crazy side events that are going to be going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's my assumption. I don't know. I don't have any inside information on what it's going to be other than awesome because it's Legacy.
I must say, one of the best GPs that I've been to, and I've been since Charlotte to all of the record-breaking GPs, right?
Like, right.
If it broke the biggest in North America record, or actually the biggest ever record, I was there. And of all of those, they were all insane, you know. But the one that seemed to have the highest quality of player, like happiness level and all that, was DC, which is my next one after Three Questions Vegas are finally done, which they might never be finally done. I've got so many files still left. But anyway, everyone at DC just seemed happy to be there. Like, it didn't matter if they were winning or losing or what. They were just happy to be there. And I got to watch, stand behind Chris Pakula and actually watch him lose just a heartbreaker. And then I sat down and did Three Questions with him because he's a hell of a nice guy. So, I mean, where else are you going to get to watch Chris Pakula play a Delver deck? Well, that would be Legacy. So, but Legacy players love Legacy so much that they just go to the Legacy GP because they want to play Legacy. It's not like, oh, damn it, this next GP's Legacy. I guess I build a deck. Or, you know, like Modern. I guess I got to learn how to play Modern, like Bill says about Charlotte.
Pretty much.
You go to a Legacy GP because you love Legacy and you want to play. Very few people are there because, well, this GP is Legacy. I guess I got to build a deck. And because that's almost impossible. So it was a blast. And I highly recommend that if anyone likes Legacy, they're going already. But if anyone just wants to see happy Magic players, go to Jersey. Do some side events. Because I swear, you Legacy weirdos are just so happy. And it's probably because of all the thousands of dollars you've dumped into your deck, so you might as well smile.
Well, now this is another thing that I've said before. So I've judged a couple of vintage events, like proper non-proxy vintage.
Good Lord, really?
And you want to talk like really laid-back, chill people? Yeah, it's the vintage guys.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Elon Musk, you know.
It takes a
I bet
certain,
he's a chill dude.
It takes a certain mental attitude to decide, you know, I'm going to build a deck with cards that are worth more than my house. And then I'm going to play with those in a game.
And I'm going to hand them to my opponent to come
and let
shuffle.
Them shuffle. Yeah. So they tend to be really chill, relaxed sorts of folks.
I'd imagine if I were to ever go crazy and do like Legacy vintage type stuff, I would live in constant fear of someone pulling a fire alarm and me just diving on the table and trying to cover the cards with my body.
In slow motion?
No. Yeah, it would be horrifying. I'm imagining that's the one where the judges walk around and actually take the drinks away rather than let you, you know, be subjected to puns because no one's
going to
risk
no.
that.
Oh, no. I was going to say, here's the thing. We don't need to tell vintage players to keep drinks off the table. They know. And if your opponent tries to put a drink on the table, you're going to say something.
Excuse me, sir. But this deck is literally, and in no way do I mean this in a derogatory manner, worth more than your life.
Yeah.
If I have to choose between saving one of them from a burning building, well, it's a good thing the deck is also lighter.
Oh, that's funny. So, yeah, if anyone is thinking of going to Jersey, then by all means,
go to Jersey.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm going to try my ass off to get there. I can't get to Orlando, but I'm going to try my ass off to get to Jersey. Which it's in what? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Jersey is,
it's like 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks, I think.
Isn't it 17, 18,
19? Yeah, hold on. I'm scrolling up to the top of this page. It is, I'm sorry, that's November 14th to 16th.
What? It's in November? Oh, I got plenty of time.
It's in November. Yeah.
Oh, balls. Okay, yeah, that's awesome. I will try my ass off to be there. It's right before my birthday, so people can come up and say, happy early birthday, Chewy, and then I'll smack you. Like on the back as a thank you.
Per birthday tradition.
Yeah, you know.
You can walk around and you can ask them questions about Thanksgiving.
Oh, dude, wait a minute. That's in November?
Yeah.
I'll have my tokens by then. Means hopefully I'll be able to put lots of one of each dork token in a penny sleeve and start handing those out. Huh?
Legacy players need tokens, dude.
Right?
They do.
And something about a, I don't remember what my creature type is. Never mind. I was gonna bust one right out, and then I completely failed. Hang on, I'm Chewy. Something about having a dork creature human lord out on the board that's got clues on it with a bow tie.
It's true.
And an axe and a loincloth. Yeah. Let's just close that picture.
That's Legacy.
About sums it up. Anyway. So is that all? I think that's all.
I think that's it.
Are we still recording? I just had a call quality thing pop up that usually doesn't pop up until we end the call, but I'm still talking to you. So I guess we're good.
Yeah, hopefully. And I'm still recording, so.
Awesome. So this has been...
Episode 430.
Oh, right. And you can see... Let's see. You can see Bill.
Yep.
And me, most likely. I'm sure I'll be there. I don't know if I'll be playing or not. That's the question. And my Manapool co-hosts, Mike and Brian, unless something awful happens, at a Pro Tour qualifier this weekend. If you're not going to Orlando, come out to Lucky's in Greensboro, North Carolina, to see the four of us at the Cons Sealed PTQ. It's going to be fun.
And if you are going to Orlando, you can see Clues.
Yeah, because as long as you're not... Actually, he doesn't even hate blue anymore. Don't let him lie to you. It's all an act. It's an act.
It's not an act.
He reads from
blue.
A card. A force of card.
Wow.
Anyway. So yeah, that's that. It's, again... Lucky's Card Shop in Greensboro, North Carolina. The PTQ starts Saturday at, is it 10, Bill?
I have no idea. I'll have to look it up.
Just say, you might want to know.
Considering I have to drive there and not get lost, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's at Lucky's. It's not
I've been there before, so.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Okay, then. So it'll be great. Bill tends to get lost when he comes down here for tournaments. It's kind of funny.
Somehow.
Anyway, so that's enough. So you guys want to do your contact info pimpage thing?
Sure.
Well, then go for it.
Well, you got to pick one of us.
You.
Otherwise, we'll just...
With the bow tie. You with the glasses.
You with the glasses. Okay. I guess that's all of us. Okay. So, yeah. Hey, if you like listening to me, let's say, you can do so on Card Advantage just about every week here on the MTGCast Network. You can find me on the Twitters. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. If you want to see me in person, there's, of course, Orlando and Jersey coming up. You can also find me much of the time over at Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It is a great shop. You should check it out, but not next weekend. You can't find me there because I'll be in Orlando.
So are you saying people should only go when you're there? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that if they want to find me, they can't do it next weekend by going to it. But you know what? Go there anyway, right?
I went there on Saturday and I didn't see you at all. And I still had fun.
I was scuba diving on Saturday.
Blue.
Listen, there's a thing I want to talk to you both about after we're off the air, but I can't talk about it right now. It's a surprise.
It probably involves swearing at us.
it might involve swearing.
Ooh.
Nice.
Anyway, that's all I got.
All right, Squee.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinToBob. There's no Iron Goblin because Clues is making threats, and I think I just lost one. And other than that, yeah, I'll ramble around on there, and I will leave you all with this little bit of new standard tech that I discovered awkwardly at the launch party. So I was using Dazzling Ramparts, the 5-mana wall that 1 and a white tap target creature, the rest of it doesn't matter. And my opponent put Singing Bell Strike on it, which tapped it down, and I had to pay 6 to untap it. And this game went super long. So we got to the point where I could actually spend enough mana to double tap down his creatures, and then on my turn, tap down his remaining creature and kill him. Combo.
As soon as you said what he put on it, I was like, this is not going to end well for him.
I mean, it got rid of my blocker for most of the game, but I held out. And then, yeah, I managed to reach the point of the 10-mana combo.
That's great.
So that was fun. Clearly, this is a tier 1 strategy that all of you should get right on in your Jeskai control decks.
I mean, people are playing freaking Dig Through. What's the freaking...
Dig Through Time?
No, the zombie one.
Oh.
Dark Depths? No, wait. What is that freaking card called? The one that nobody should be playing and everyone's playing? That's weird.
The one that's somehow seeing a lot of play, even though we had a card that did this, but 13 every time for 8 mana? Yeah, I don't know.
That wasn't whatever, an instant, you guys. Though.
Yeah, well, that's the big difference. But yeah, so like that's my contact information and tangent story. So yay, go to this thing this weekend and play Sealed with us.
Yay. All right. And if you want to find me, then you can find me on Twitter at TheManaPool. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at TheManaPool.com. Quick update, I'm in the process. I finally got the art. This is a Kickstarter update. I finally got the art for the custom token. And that was holding up the order of all the tokens because, you know, I was just going to do them all at once. And so Jars sent a sketch and the dude was like, here's some changes. So Jars sent another sketch and the dude was like, that's awesome. And then Jars colored it and the dude was like, that's awesome. So now I have the final art and I took it to my designer yesterday and we tokenified it. It's so cute. And then, yeah, and then that's that. So I'm in the process. I would have ordered some today, but it wouldn't take my... Can't say that. It wouldn't take my freaking credit card, and I don't know why.
But your credit card has the mana pool written on it. How could they not take it?
I don't know. I'm in the process of getting that worked out. I really don't want to have to transfer money from here to here and then from there to there in order to buy these freaking things. I want to just be able to go, here's a number, take my freaking money. So, yeah, that's that. I have started the process of the... playmat, they're gonna send me a sample swatch so I can see how it looks. A playmat is 14 by 24. They're sending me a 10 by 15 sample. I guess so it's not just a free playmat here.
Well, I mean, it's cheaper and it lets you actually see what the colors look like printed is the main purpose. It's just a color check.
True. But I asked for a certain corner so I can see how the text in the bottom left looks. So hopefully that's what they'll send me. And shipping for that, for the playmats, is ungodly expensive. So I'm currently trying to find a way around that. So that's the update. Anything else? Sleeves are months and months out. Months, just ungodly. Shirts are the other thing, but shirts don't matter until I get the tokens, so.
And if you donated, you're getting episodes early, so enjoy.
Yeah. If you donated to the Kickstarter more than... $5. So I think it was $10 or more was what I said. Yeah. Then hopefully for the last several weeks, you've been getting an email with a link to the new episode of the Mana Pool. I have tried to work out ways to make an RSS feed so you can just subscribe to it, but I can't seem to make it work in such a way that I get all the data I need. So sorry about that, but you're still getting it early in your email. So download it, put it on your whatever and listen to it that way. It's fine. So yay. If you haven't been getting it, let me know. Because that's a problem, you know, if you did in fact donate to the Kickstarter. So that's that. I gave you email, I gave you that. You can go to themanapool.com and find everything else I do that's not this. I want Scott to make like a sidebar of Monday Night Magic on the Mana Pool, just see it's, you know. You can also hear Chewy here, and it puts that there too. But Scott's busy, so I don't know. But anyway, so this has been, what did we say?
4:30.
Really? That's insane. This show is too old. We should pull up Marvel Comics and cancel it and start over at number one. Actually, that's DC. Actually, that's everybody. Oh.
Nah, they all do that.
Yeah. Oh, well. So, yeah, next week, Monday Night Magics with an S, number one. Yeah, or the Amazing Monday Night
with an X.
With an X. That's terrible. Monday Night Hearthstone next week, number one.
Oh, God.
All right, enough of that. So thank you all very much for listening, and go play some Magic.